following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just not that. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
Big question is, who let the dogs in to Gillette Stadium in the Patriots locker room today? Welcome to PFW in progress here on Patriots.com radio. Sorry, no Fred Kirsch. Just me, Andy Hart, alongside Paul Perillo. We have an action-packed Wednesday to deal with all things Patriots, fresh off the locker room where, as I mentioned, tons of media members, not a ton of players, and some of the players walking through even noted the large number of TV reporters, radio personalities, and writers in attendance as the Patriots prepare to take on the New York Giants Sunday afternoon here at Gillette Stadium. The news of the day, apparently, and I say the news because we always know it's news when a Boston television station sends a over-the-top news reporter to cover a story.
Why, what do you mean, Andy?
And today there was a reporter from Channel 7, I'm told. I don't know if Paul knows his name.
Jonathan Hall.
Jonathan Hall, who was apparently mic'd up, so I get him a bit of a pass as opposed to what I said earlier on Twitter. But he was essentially yelling toward Bill Belichick when asking his questions in regards to Julian Edelman, who was arraigned in Boston court yesterday on indecent. What's the charge, Paul?
Assault and battery.
Indecent assault and battery. Allegedly, inappropriately touching a young lady at a nightclub on Halloween evening. And as is always the case, the Wednesday after one of these stories breaks, some TV reporter comes from some Boston news station and, tries to, go tough on Bill Belichick. And then Bill bats him around a little bit. So I'd urge you, if you're interested in watching that, watch Channel 7 News tonight, because this reporter was indeed mic'd up, so I'm assuming they're going to show the whole interaction, and you will see the funny side of Bill Belichick, you know, not cracking jokes or smiling, but dealing with the tough guy news reporter. I'm always very much entertained.
It's a joke.
It's much better when he's slapping one of them around as opposed to slapping a member of PFW around.
Which he hasn't really done in a long time.
No, because Eric's, for the most part, kept his mouth shut.
That's a really interesting point, Andy.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you. You know, you and I we see eye to eye in a lot of things. A lot of topics we can talk about, though, this week. Taylor Price, one of the players du jour of the week. Bill O'Brien yesterday said they would like to get more plays for him, more playing time.
Yeah, he basically put it on himself, Billy O, saying,
yes,
you know, I got to find a way to get him more acclimated. Unfortunately, did not get a real ringing endorsement from the quarterback today when asked about.
Well, that's par for the course for the last year and a half.
Yeah,
I've always believed for some reason he doesn't like care for him. I don't know what that is. I just performed a one-on-one interview with Dion Branch here at Gillette Stadium that will air on Thursday night, 7:30 Comcast on PFW TV. And Branch seems to like him. Branch thinks he has a lot of talent and he can do some things on the football field. It's up to him to prove it and be ready each and every game week, and when the coaches put him in, take advantage. But he certainly had a positive vibe when talking about Taylor Price. And, you know, so I think everybody, based on O'Brien's comments, based on Ocho Cinco's first seven games, based on a Giants team that he's a little banged up all year long in the secondary. Maybe they try to spread him out. Maybe we even see, looked like Hernandez was limping a little bit last week in Pittsburgh. Maybe we even see more three receiver sets. And if we do, maybe that's Taylor Price, because he got on the field for a pass play last week and he was open down the field. Just couldn't quite connect with Tom Brady. But, you know, we're certainly not the last people on the Taylor Price bandwagon. We've been driving that bandwagon based on purely physical ability we've wanted to see him on the football field. We may see it this week, Paul.
Yeah, no, the last person on the bandwagon, unfortunately, appears that it will be Tom Brady.
But he'll get on there. If he throws him the ball and he makes catches and make plays, he'll get on there.
But for whatever reason, I guess he just doesn't seem like he talked in generalities when asked specifically about Price today, about all young players needing to, you know, work harder and do their, you know, their assignments and whatnot. So not an over the top endorsement, but I think it's pretty clear that the coaching staff is at least entertaining thoughts of trying some different things, because I don't think that you offer that yesterday if you're Bill O'Brien, and then Bill Belichick followed up because his conference call came after Bill O'Brien's. So I'm looking forward to the idea of getting Price involved. I think it's gone on long enough. We talked a lot about it yesterday with Chad Ochocinco. At this point, I would be stunned if he even had one game where you said, well, that's what they went out and got him for. I don't know that about Price.
It's got to be a pretty good game to be worth $6 million.
everything about Price that we have seen has been positive.
Even up to last week. He
practice,
got open. He was open down the
preseason
field.
Preseason games, the one regular season game that he actually got a chance to play in last
yep.
year, and then the one opportunity he had to have the ball thrown his way, he found himself wide open. Everything we've seen on the field from Taylor Price has been positive.
Now, the contrast that with everything we've seen on the field from Chad Ochocinco has been negative.
Yeah, virtually everything has been negative.
There is.
So I think
every time he's
change.
Been on the field, there's been a negative. You know, he's had a couple catches.
Let me throw a question out here for you. This is PFW in progress. This is what we do. We speculate. So let's go down the road here for Sunday. Bill O'Brien's talking about possibility of trying to get him, Price, more acclimated into the offense, more involved in the offense. Julian Edelman was a healthy scratch last week. We just talked about his legal situation, but I'm not sure that that's going to affect his on-field play moving forward. I don't think it will. I don't think it should. We don't want to try the guy. We don't know really anything about the situation other than the facts that Andy already presented. If he's healthy and he's active as a return guy, and Taylor Price is going to get more acclimated to the offense, do you sit Chad Ochocinco as one of the inactives?
I don't. If I go that route, I think I go the route of just cutting him. I think I would make, you know, Friday cut day maybe here at Gillette Stadium. Last week it was Lee Bodden. Maybe this week it's Ochocinco. I just think if you go down the road of he's a healthy scratch, then you're already admitting it's a failure, and I think you're creating a controversy you don't want to have to deal with.
Well,
if you just cut him, the controversy ends a day later.
I think you're right that they probably won't do that, but I think they should. I don't think right now he's one of their best 46 players.
And that may be. Then I would just cut him. Because I've seen nothing to lead me to believe he's not a young player.
No.
There's nothing to lead you to believe that in 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, he's going to be one of your best, right? So you just cut ties and avoid the media circus. You'll deal with a one-day media circus, right? And then you move on. If he's still here, then there's talk. Is he getting disgruntled? Is he going to be this? Is he going to be that? If he's gone, he's out of sight, out of mind. Move on.
And he just, he's still been pleasant in the locker room, but
he
has just not talked about his situation, and he won't. So
he's going through something he's pretty much never gone through.
But didn't you, I would plead guilty on this one. I would be one of the people that I would have thought, if you said to me in August, this was the way his season was going to unfold, he'd become a problem.
No, I wouldn't have. Because I don't think he's crazy.
I was wrong.
I think some of the other guys are loony.
Listen, I'm not saying that he would have gone out there and stormed the castle or anything, but I would have thought that he would be making some comments about, I need the ball thrown in my direction more. I need to be more part of this offense. He's been just the opposite.
I think he's smart. I think he's aware enough. And when you do something wrong every time you're on the field, it's hard to say, I need to be on the field more. I need to catch the ball more. I need to, you know what I mean?
Well, I would think that he would
be saying
things like,
I think those other guys are psycho.
I need to work through those mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not getting an opportunity to fight through my mistakes and learn this offense in game situations. I'm playing 7 snaps a game. I'm not going to get better doing that.
I've never thought he was psycho like Moss and T.O. I think they would be. I think they spit in the face of reason.
I would definitely
think he's a reasonable human being.
I definitely would have felt the same about Moss and T.O. You are correct about that.
Oh, yeah, because those two are loco. I think Ocho's a little different. See what I did there? Loco, Spanish, Ocho,
I think Ocho's loco as well.
Oh, I don't think he's a very nice man. Webradio@Patriots.com. Webradio@Patriots.com if you want to join the show via email, which is the most popular form of interaction with the PFW in Progress crew. You may have heard Paul Perillo coughing in the background. He's a bit under the weather, which is why I'll be reading the emails in Fred Kirsch's absence. Fred is big-timing us today. He's flaunting himself around the building to important visitors, and this is where we just slum it down here. If you want to join on the phone, call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Could use some Diet Pepsi.
That's 508-298-0398. Again, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, here inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios at Gillette Stadium. It's a chilly day outside, Paul.
It is getting a It's getting a little chilly out. There's still some snow laying around out there, too. Listen, we beat them up all day yesterday over the Pittsburgh loss and, you know, all the things that went wrong in Pittsburgh. I thought interesting today in talking about some of that stuff, Bill Belichick's press conference. You know, there's two new cornerbacks being thrown into the fire here in the aftermath of Lee Bodden's situation, Antoine Molden and Phillip Adams. And Belichick was sort of quick to their defense and the cornerbacks in general from Sunday's game, saying, I didn't think the problems on Sunday were on the outside. You know, they weren't on the perimeter, I think was the word he used. More of it was in the middle of the field. So that seemed to be an indictment, Andy, of the safeties.
And the linebackers.
So I thought that was somewhat interesting. And you know, I think a lot of people well, you get rid of Bodden and all of a sudden that might be, you know, a little bit of defense mechanism as well.
I think it's also, if you watch that game, even the 3rd and 15 first downs were between the hashes. They were in cuts. Mm-hmm. They were all in cuts. And the safeties were irrelevant. We saw Josh Barrett go the route of Sergio Brown as he was replaced somewhat in the second half by Sergio Brown, who was replaced in the second half in Oakland by James Ahedibo was replaced by Sergio Brown, who was replaced in Oakland. It is what it is. I mean, everybody wants to talk about Molden and Adams and what you're left with at corner. Well, you're not left with much better at safety. You're left with, no offense to these guys, but scrap heap guys and special teamers.
Now, that is what they are.
Is what it is.
You know, they haven't played a lot of defense. They have gotten some snaps. Bill said that he was able to evaluate both of those. Adams a little bit more than Molden. Adams has played a little bit more defense in his career than Molden has. But you really are. You're dealing with some scrap heap guys, and you're trying to get by with it. But I also wanted to move ahead and some interesting stuff. We always have ESPN on in the background. Patriots, 8.5-point favorites. They're talking about that spread, wondering if it's a little bit too high. My gut reaction, Andy, is that does seem a little high to me.
And your gut carries a lot of weight around here.
Can you ever not use that line after I say gut reaction?
No. It's kind of what I do. I have a few, you know, if you bring up the Liberty Bell, I'm going to say it's not all it's cracked up to be. I have a few that I go to.
Okay.
You know, all right. When it's 3rd and long, what do the Patriots do?
It's funny because he's fat.
What play? They got two plays they're going to call most of the time on 3rd and long. It's going to be a draw. It's going to be a screen. Well, I have a few go-to plays called...
Second. That's 2nd and long.
And 3rd and long. Are you going to be argumentative today? Is this how you... When you can't speak, you get cranky.
I ain't got it.
You just turn to a little punani.
I'd love to be able to argue with you today, but I don't think I have it in me.
Anyway, as Paul was talking about, the Patriots 8.5-point favorites against the New York Giants on Sunday here at Gillette Stadium. Are you going to host or am I hosting?
Are you worried about this game?
Who's hosting the show?
I'm just asking.
Because you host the pregame social and you steal my thunder by taking all my tweets. Now I host the show and you're trying to set the table on the show.
I'm not trying to set anything.
I'm just living in your world, Paul. What do you want me to do? I can just sit here and be quiet. You point to me when you want me to read an email if you want. Just tell me what, you know, you're Tom Brady, I'm Taylor Price. I'm just trying to create a role for myself on this radio show.
I think that's accurate.
The star who shows up when he wants to show up.
I can live with that.
So what do you want me to do? Help me help you.
You've never helped me.
Are you done?
I want to know if you're worried about this game.
No, I'm not worried in the least.
Okay.
Patriots don't lose to NFC teams at Gillette Stadium.
You sit in that seat.
Patriots do not lose two games in a row.
When you're sitting
Eli
in that
Manning
seat, you just
is
don't worry
the biggest
about
Jag great quarterback that's ever walked the planet. He's not even the best quarterback in his family. Probably not even in the top two in his family. Shows you how bad he is.
Yeah, that's a big indictment. He's not the best quarterback in his family.
Is he in the top two?
Yeah.
He's better than Archie? I don't know. I never saw Archie play.
Oh, I think he's better than Archie.
But the bigger question is...
I thought you were talking about Cooper.
Now I know how Fred feels when he sits in this damn seat.
No, now I know
can
how
a guy
Fred gets
start
it.
A sentence in this seat without somebody else stepping on his
not
sentence?
Not as long as you continue to make me know that it bothers you.
Good Lord. I'd call you a pain in the ass. You know what? You're a pain in the ass. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com if you want to chime in and talk about the Patriots Football Weekly Power Rankings for Week 9, which were unveiled on the PFW blog today. If you haven't seen them, head on over to Patriots.com and check them out. The number one team is interesting. It's a new one for this week. There's a tie at the two spot. The Giants are the number seven team in the rankings, despite the fact that they're an 8.5-point underdog on the road to the number 10 team, your New England Patriots. What do you make of that, Paul Perillo, using the Wilson Hart
I think
formula?
A lot of the Giants situation is similar to what we talked about last week with Pittsburgh.
Soft schedules.
Very, very soft schedule.
Will the result be the same?
And not only they've benefited from it, but they've even slipped up in it. They lost to Washington and they lost to Seattle.
That's the
Seattle
one good thing about the Steelers. You could argue when they lost to legitimate
they
teams.
They lost to the two good teams they played on their schedule. They lost. But they beat all the teams they were supposed to.
Will the outcome be the same? Even though the venue is different, you're not traveling to the fraud. The fraud is coming to you.
No, I do think the Patriots are, you know, for a lot of the reasons that you said, I think the Patriots are in good shape in this game. But I do think it'll be tough. 8.5 is a lot of points for me. Well, right now, I'm going to take the points.
When you have the worst defense in football and your offense is coming back to reality, things are going to be tough. You know, it wasn't easy when you had the worst defense in football and the best offense in football that was putting up 500 yards. Now your offense, and I spoke with Deion Branch about this, you'll see it Thursday night, Comcast 7:30 on PFW TV, the yards, the points, everything on offense is a little harder. The numbers are coming down, it's a little bit more work. You know, they didn't react well to some man coverage last week, give the Steelers credit. Ike Taylor and company got the job done. But when you're not good on defense and your offense is coming back to reality a little bit, you're going to be in dogfights against decent teams. And whatever you think of the Giants and Eli Manning, they're a decent team. They're not terrible on any level.
I've been trying to tell you. You keep telling me he's a Jag.
Well, he is.
Okay.
There's a difference between elite and Jags.
Well, I didn't say he's an elite quarterback. I know that was the big thing during the summer, but I think he's a lot closer to elite than a Jag.
Oh boy, now we get how close is he to elite? Is he closer to elite? Jag? Three steps away from Jag?
Really,
or three steps
all
away
that
from elite?
Hard to decide.
Anyway. We already have a caller. You know, we have very loyal listeners, and this listener was actually, I believe, on the line before you and I were here in the radio studio to do the show.
Oh, really?
Because we were a little late arriving from the locker room, went to noon.
The locker room went to noon today.
And I was just finishing up with Deion Branch, who is, by the way, I know I say this every week, one of my favorite players. Every guy I talk to, but, you know, there's a lot of good guys on this team.
There are.
A lot of good guys. And that doesn't get said enough sometimes. You know, everybody, oh, Gronkowski took a photo with a girl, and Edelman, you know, is allegedly doing whatever. And these guys come in, these news reporters, and they try to lump it. Do you have a discipline problem on your team? And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They're good people. There's some good people in that locker room. And don't let people who make mistakes, young, immature, potentially alcohol-related mistakes, sway you to believe the Patriots are this group of unruly punks and jerks.
I agree with you.
And they're good people in that locker room.
And I know that we'll get made fun of because of where we work, but
we always get made fun of, though. If I criticize the team,
I get made fun of. That,
if I support the team, I get made fun of. The bottom line is, I have a large head. Make fun of me. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I choose to do.
But Larry was on the line before we even got here. Larry in Miami, Florida. Hello, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you feeling today?
What's up, Larry?
Man, sky's falling.
Now we're only like 20 minutes into the show. This isn't going to be like Anthony from Naples yesterday who wanted Bill Belichick, is it?
No, it's not fire Belichick. It was just some correctable problems, but Belichick has to do corrections, but we'll see how that goes. But like you were saying yesterday, Andy, that Taylor Price conspiracy, I kind of see it because when he was on the field, they call a run play. And then when he do go for a pass, it was on the throw. And he's not even giving the man a chance. So it's like, forget Ultra Single right now. It's just because I see that, you know, even off the line, it's not like if Ultra Singles then don't know the plays. But it's like off the line, if you look at him really well, he's not getting off the line. Or he's getting jammed by Jags.
He looks like he's done.
Yeah, he's done because back in the day, because I actually go to the same gym he goes to work out in Miami, and one time I approached him, and this was a Monday night that he really murdered Champ Bailey on Monday Night Football. I mean, he embarrassed him, and I walked up to him. I was like, you couldn't do it with a guy like that on live TV, but those days are over, and he can't even get it open on a Jag. That's one of the plays that you can get open, a post. You just get the guy on the outside shoulder and you open. You don't let the guy beat you.
Yeah, nothing has led us to believe, and I said this to Paul in the locker room, forget that he's Ocho Cinco, forget the 1,400-yard seasons, forget everything, and just say, wide receiver wearing number 85 for the Patriots, has done what you've seen him do since August through September and through October, you'd say, the guy can't play. He shouldn't be here. He's not helping the team in any way.
I think it's physical. It's not mental as much as we keep beating the drum on that. I think it's physical.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think it's a combination. I mean, I think there's still some mental. You see that on some things, but now you have to say, at some point you're on the field, just beat a guy. Even if you run the wrong route, beat the guy. He can't beat anybody off the ball or down the field. Yeah, it's alarming, it's disappointing, and it's a costly one-year mistake that I'm sure they'll learn from on some level.
Yeah.
Well, get some Taylor Price and bring in some Bernard Berry, and at least these guys, you know, get off the line. You know, because we're going to need that in the playoffs. That's why I feel that this guy is falling, because it's reminiscent of playoffs.
Yeah, but the best part is they're forced to use Price now. We're going to find out, or I think they're going to be forced to use Price. He gets an opportunity. Can he play? And I think he can. I don't think he'll disappoint all the fans that have given him support. I don't think he'll let them down. I think this kid's going to make some plays. I really do.
And, Paul, I got a question for you, Paul.
What do you got, Larry?
282.
Do you really like B-Lo? Because on the interviews, you know, on the show when he's interviewing, it looked like you're ready to leave. Like, this guy, I'm really talking to this guy. It's just hilarious.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Well, Paul's always looking for another camera. He's always he's that guy at the party who's looking for a hotter girl. He's always looking for a better camera with more viewers.
Oh, you shut up.
It's what you do.
Larry, Pilo and I are very, very good friends. I enjoy those.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore.
I enjoy the post-game debrief with him. But that's very funny.
He's a blowhard anyway. I don't care.
No, he's a good guy. He talks a lot, but he's a good guy.
All right, Larry, we'll talk to you down the road. Keep the chin up, buddy. Was he calling you a blowhard or Pilo? Or is that two blowhards on one?
Why don't you just shut up?
Whoa. Can we have some professionalism here on PFW in Progress?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that what you're about, professionalism?
When I sit in this seat, I'm about professionalism. When I'm over there, when I'm across the table, it's a different Andy. But when I'm in the seat, it's all professional here in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios at Gillette Stadium.
Give the people what they want.
508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. We just had one line open up, and since no one else called, there's a few others that are also open. And you want to join us by email, and we're going to get to those momentarily because they are certainly piling up. Webradio@patriots.com. And I'm going to click on breaking news. The subject headline gets me every day. Appeals court rules for CBS and Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction indecency case. Okay, I learned my lesson. Breaking news doesn't always mean it's relevant. And here's where I show my utter lack of professionalism. How do I get back to inbox? How do I get back to the emails? Okay, I'm back. I'm back, guys. Don't worry. And now I'm going to be a sucker for another subject line. Steve Stone wants to talk about the Wilson Hart power rankings. It's got my name in it. Three times, actually. Andy. Never good when they start out that way with an email.
No.
You don't seem to get it. How can you have the Steelers at 12? You don't you know they're going to win the Super Bowl this week? And how can you have the Patriots in 10th? They're not supposed to win another game unless they fire that meddling coach. Additionally, you have the Rams still ranked in the bottom three, but they beat the Saints. Lastly, the Lions are clearly not first in the power rankings, even though they played incredibly well this season. It's the Lions. How could you? Come on, man. That's Stephen Albany. So he was that was sarcasm.
Yes.
I don't think he has quite a problem with my power rankings. I think he
I'm a big fan of sarcasm.
When you get it.
Well, yeah, as long as it's not, someone has to tell me.
As long as it says Evan being sarcastic.
As long as someone doesn't have to tell me that they're being sarcastic.
Our average producer behind the glass wanted to chime in. Brandon Tate, AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. I'm sure some people saw that on Twitter and the internet earlier today. And Dumas in there would like to know, when was the last time we had a kick return past the 30? And that's a fair question after last week's performance with Danny Woodhead getting the role of kick
returner.
Ironically,
Brandon Tate took two to the house last year.
Yes, yeah, so
although I would not mean that as that was a bad personnel move.
I would have
cut ties with Brandon Tate.
That was fine. I you know, it hasn't worked out. They haven't been great on kick returns this year. And you know, with Julian Edelman kind of uncertain right now. You know, there's some issues there.
Punts.
Oh, he's way better at punts, but I'm just saying the uncertainty of, you know, will he be active in playing and how this all unfolds? Because when asked directly by the news reporter if there could be some sanctions or whatever behind the scenes, team discipline. Bill obviously said we'll keep that in-house as we always do, but he did say, sure, we have internal discipline that we hand out.
I'm not really into solving the world's problems.
Various issues. I mean, we know that Wes Welker was right. disciplined for his comments last year, and various things happen. He certainly did not.
Brandon Dedrick.
Show whether he was leaning one way or the other or what it might be, but he said, sure, there is a discipline system in place.
Yeah.
But back to the. What are you looking at me for? Is that a pink shirt you got on there?
It is.
I'm glad to see you're back, Andy.
What? It caught it out of the corner of my eye, pink.
gotta go to a wake today. I had to dress up.
See this story about the Yale
quarterback? Wait a minute. You have to wear a pink shirt to a wake?
It's one of the nicest shirts I have, and it happens to be pink. I don't have many nice shirts. I'm not on TV like
I had to go to a wake, so I had to break out the pink, Paul.
I don't get to expense my wardrobe.
As Ian Rappaport would say,
yeah.
Wait, what? Pink is the, and he knows about, you know,
I like the fact
funerals and wakes and things.
I like the fact that he's hosting, though, because he actually pays attention to what.
Yeah, I read it. Yeah, and so. I also read and strippers chimed in with this. No Bradshaw and Knicks at Giants practice today. That is certainly a concern from the New York side.
Yeah.
Hakeem Nicks is their best receiver by far, a guy who can make a lot of plays.
Hammy problem, too. Not good for a receiver.
Bradshaw's return last week said he was fine, said it was just an aggravation of an old surgery with a screw in his foot. In one of those metatarsals, I forget, fifth, fourth, I don't know which one, I think there's five of them. One of those metatarsals has a screw in it, and it flared up. And he sounded like he was going to play. You know, this could just be a precautionary thing, let it, you know, kind of ease down.
But significant injuries, though, because
even if
they play, clearly they're not going to be 100%, and they're both guys that, you know, that they need to be running.
So then your guy will have an excuse, Eli. I didn't have all my weapons if he lays in.
No, I think that's why he's pretty good, is that he doesn't really have a lot of good weapons. I mean, Victor Cruz is the second leading receiver.
What do we do here?
Free agent.
Do we give precedent to callers? Is that how we work this in the seat? If they take,
you can work it any way you want.
Well, I'm going to go to a guy now who I thought had a tremendous call yesterday. He was once offended by me when I called him a pool guy, but he, Anthony in Naples, Florida, wants to clarify his stance in what was, in my opinion, the call of the year yesterday on PFW in Progress. Anthony, how's the pool biz?
Once again, Andy, I have to correct you.
What?
I wasn't offended that you called me a pool guy. It was the fact that you said you're just a pool guy, as if I have no other knowledge in life besides pool.
I was just kidding. You're very sensitive, huh?
No, I'm just clarifying.
Okay.
I love doing what I do, working 22, 24 hours a week. Wonderful.
And making a lot of money, because you buy us lunch occasionally, and you send us gifts of the alcoholic.
He works less a week than we do a day.
Yeah, why did that stop?
Well, because I got a long-term girlfriend that's a fiancé now. Notice that?
I hate her. Tell her to mind your own business.
I'll probably send something new. I'll try to do it this year.
Tell her there's still his and her money, and not all his is hers.
Yeah, and you know what?
And then let me know how that goes.
Something. I have to clarify something about yesterday, and also, I just want to touch on your joke power rankings, Andy.
Screw you! Go do a pool guy.
Yeah, yeah. But how many games do you watch a week?
Did you not read
one?
Wait a minute. Do you know what the power rankings are?
It's based on stats and whatnot.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you. And I consulted with some of the greatest minds in the history of football to come
numbers
up with this
numbers,
formula.
But here's the thing. This is why I'm asking you, how many games do you watch a week?
One.
And the thing is, yeah, exactly. The thing is,
I shouldn't say that.
Two.
One and portions of a couple others.
Two.
Okay, but you poo-poo those guys, and I understand, like, a lot of them are blowhards, especially on ESPN. I don't care for a lot of those. But some of them blowhards.
You
have to admit that they do watch a good amount of by the eye test, because, you know, they have special rooms where they get to sell the games at once.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
You got to give them that credit, that they do, how they power rank is with the eye test.
No, I agree, and I think there's a place for that. I just wanted to offer an alternative.
Okay, but the first time you put it out, I wasn't impressed with it. But
you know what? I'm not impressed with this call. You had a good one yesterday, and this one stinks.
Terrible call. Oh, terrible line, too. You got to get a landline.
And come up out of the pool when you call us, because your phone sounds terrible.
Why? Was it windy or something?
No, you're like garbled and
you're going
cutting in and out.
Really?
What kind of service you using down there?
AT&T, it's usually
pretty now we have the answer. AT&T, they stink. They might have the fastest network. You just can't make phone calls.
AT&T is great. If I was up north, it'd be Verizon.
you should be the ad right now, because you just got garbled when you said AT&T is the best.
But anyway, what I wanted to clarify yesterday, it's more out of frustration. It wasn't just this one game, my stance on Bill. It's not just this one game. First of all, after this last game, it almost felt like those rats that you had in your head about the Jets and then the Cowboys all came up front. You know what I mean? Because it was like, well, maybe, yeah, they didn't play up, as in the other side didn't play how they could have. They played scared. And that's really what ticked me off about this last game, because it justified those people saying that. The thing that I want to fire about Bill, the GM, I want to fire that part. I want to leave him as the coach, okay? And the problem I have with Bill, he's too stubborn. And he would never, I don't need him to press conference like Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren, when he stepped down as GM, you know, he made a huge announcement about it. I don't need that. All I need, I don't even need to know it. I just hope Robert Kraft takes him aside, a one-on-one conversation, and says, Bill, you know what, in the draft, just either you could sit there or maybe be on a vacation spot somewhere else. We're going to handle it. We're going to try to get you the best players available at the needed positions.
Ain't happening.
I know. I can live in a fantasy world where maybe that will come to fruition. I don't know.
That's worse than a fantasy world. I have a better chance of getting Brooklyn Decker than that does of happening. You take away his personnel power and he walks out the door.
You say, no, not his personnel power. But, Russ,
you just said he could take a vacation during the draft.
Well, all right. Maybe he doesn't have to do that.
Fast.
He could sit down in the room. But what I'm saying is that Robert Kraft has plenty of ammo in his pocket to be like, listen, Bill, look at all this that you did. Just a one-on-one conversation. Doesn't have to be public. And I'm sure Bill respects him enough where he's going to be like, yeah, you know what? All right, I'm going to just leave it up to you guys. You evaluate who. I'm just going to give you a need and try to address those needs as best as you can and consider our future. That's all I want.
Less than zero chance.
But
I mean, you don't think Bill has enough in his ammo in his pocket to say, I've taken you to 4 Super Bowls, I've won 3 of them, I went 14-2 last year, yeah, I've had a couple hiccups in the postseason, I am the best, winningest organization in the game for the time I've been here.
The now. What I'm talking about is about the now.
They're 5-2.
Robert Kraft, when it comes to the draft and personnel questions or acquisitions, he has the last 5 years of ammo where Bill doesn't. It's the complete opposite.
But how has it hurt the team? They're 5-2. They're among the best in football. They were 14-2 last year, a number one seed. The proof, the facts, all that is on Belichick's side. Yes, you can go down the draft track record, and we've done it a number of times on this show, and I actually agree with you. But the bottom line is, with Bill in full control, you win a lot of football games.
Let me ask you this. Would you object? Let's just say hypothetically, the same thing was brought to the attention of A.J. Smith over there in San Diego. Say, A.J., you're involved too much. We need to get a coach who's going to run the team how he wants and just has a little bit of a voice, as in what the type of players, or just has full control of the football side, and you can pick the guys. But he's not going to be your puppet. Would you object to that on that side? Because the same situation, but in the opposite.
How is it the same situation? How many Super Bowls has A.J. Smith won? How many division titles has he won? How many times?
But it's the same thing. He is holding them back because he needs absolute power. So he has a puppet over there as his head coach. Instead of just saying, all right, I'm going to hire an absolute surefire head coach to take care of this team, and I don't have to put my finger on everything. What I'm saying is that they have the talent. Rex Ryan even acknowledges they have the talent, but apparently they don't have the cost to do it. And who do you think is holding that up? That's A.J. Smith.
Well, I don't know that necessarily to be the case, but A.J. Smith does not have the foundation to stand on that Bill Belichick does. Bill Belichick has a lot of yoke here in New England, and he earned it. He earned it by his performance here and what he brought for this team over the right. Am I wrong?
Do you not confirm that he has a ton of talent, but not the proper head coach? That's my point.
No, I mean, he gets to make that decision, though.
I think that's largely been true of San Diego overall. I don't think they're as talented right now as they have been in some times, but I understand your larger point. I'm with Andy on this, though. It's track record. If Belichick was the coach of the Patriots just for the last 5 years, he'd be on the hot seat. He would have already lost his personnel power, and he'd be on the hot seat. Not because he hasn't won a lot of games, but you can't do that. He's been a coach for 11 years, and he's won 3 Super Bowls. And with the system that he's using right now, you could argue they didn't win those Super Bowls because of the system that he's using. They won it because there were some players here that he inherited and he mixed in and he's a great coach and all that. But his track record gives him a much bigger leg to stand on than A.J. Smith will ever have.
I understand, but you have to acknowledge at some point, you know what, you got to be the bigger man and be like, you know what, it hasn't been working, there has been a lot of busts, I have been wasting a lot of money. To me, that's what makes you a better person, a better manager, just a better boss in general. Sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, I'm wrong, you know what, I need some help. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not less of a man. That's my point.
Do you think if Robert Kraft went to Bill Belichick and said, we're going to do this, we're going to take away your personnel decision making power, what do you think that would go?
I think I don't want to phrase it like that. but that's my point. I don't want to phrase it like that.
Well, he's no longer in charge of the draft.
It doesn't matter how you phrase it. He's a bottom line guy. Do I get to make the call on trades, signings, and draft picks? If I don't, I'm out.
Well, you know what I'm hoping for? Obviously, you can't be a complete stranger. I'm not going to go up to Bill Belichick and be like, hey, you know what, Bill, it's not working out. I'm the new guy, and by the way, you can't pick anymore. No, I'm not talking about that. Maybe somebody in the inside, like a Floyd Reese, now maybe he has a lot of experience. He's picked a lot of damn good players.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe put a little bit, not even just power, but just a little bit like, all right, these are the guys we're going to pick. We're going to stop trading down. It has to be a one-on-one conversation between him and Kraft. Nobody else needs to know. You know what I mean? I'm sure he has respect for Kraft. He's been working for him for how many years? 12 years? You know, known him for another 5, maybe 7 years after that? You're telling me they don't have a mutual respect for each other? And you mean to tell me when Kraft just talks to him like a man and just says, Bill, it's been a little tough lately. You got to admit, you know, this and this, a fantastic coach. But you know what? Let's try something different. Give me 2 years to try something.
Okay, Anthony, thanks for the call. You can call back tomorrow because I'm sure we're going to get some comments and some criticisms of your phone call and analysis of it. I thought it was another good, passionate call, but the facts are the facts. If you take away Bill Belichick's power in terms of personnel, I think you lose Bill Belichick, the coach. They go hand in hand. It's what he's done. And I also go with the facts. He's won a lot of games. For all the failures as a GM, Bill Belichick, the head coach, has won a lot of football games, and you have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, and I think we recognize the problems. I'm not blind to what Anthony's talking about. Believe me, I've been as critical as anyone of some of the things, and I don't believe, Andy, that the foundation of success that this team built in the early part of the 2000s was the result of this system. To me, it was the result of Bill Belichick's coaching ability, Tom Brady's quarterback ability, and the players that he inherited.
And some that he brought in.
I'm not saying that he didn't bring any good players in. I'm saying that's the foundation. That everybody says, well, the system works because they win games. Well, I don't think you win games without Bill Belichick, the coach.
Right.
Same system, same personnel. Don't think you win games without Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Right.
So I don't want to hear about the system. It's not the system that's responsible for the success. It's the individual coaching and the individual quarterback, in my opinion.
Now we'll go to one of my favorite callers, not necessarily the man on the phone, but one of his friends, Harriet the Dog, joining us with Dan. Hey, Dan, you've been hanging for a little bit. How are you doing?
Yeah, nice, Andy. Thanks.
We love Harriet around here, right?
Yeah, she's great. But
Whoa. That didn't sound very genuine.
Okay, she's wonderful.
I want you to get her a filet mignon tonight.
Yeah, sure, why not, if they're serving at the crappy establishment that is my campus dining hall.
What do you got today, Patriots-related?
I'm hoping that you guys will indulge me for a few grievances I have regarding the Patriots. I want to just talk a little bit about the game and then about Belichick, the GM. First, with the game, this game, just if you take the last two games, the Dallas game feels like the night out partying, and the Steelers game feels like the hangover, where just everything is just like, you know, you're about partying, you're like, yeah, this looks great, everything's looking good, and then eventually you got to come back to reality, and you're like, wait, this is who I'm sleeping with?
I think it's fair.
I mean, this is a team that has not beaten you at full strength, like, in the entire Belichick era, and you had 2 weeks to prepare for it. And it sounded like the game plan was, we're going to throw and play zone all day. Which, if you're going to just play zone, you might as well have kept guys like Sanders and Merriweather, because at least Merriweather has athletic ability and Sanders can tackle.
Okay,
by
just
the way,
just real quick.
Yeah.
I just wanted to cut in. I've heard that a lot this week. Oh, we got to go back to man coverage. Well, weren't they stinking at man coverage early in the year? I mean, I think we've seen they can't cover the pass, whether it's man or zone, blitz or not blitz. They can't stop the pass. They haven't for 7 weeks.
I'll accept that. But, I mean, what does it say when two of the safeties that you decided weren't good enough for your team started when the Eagles were playing the Falcons on Monday Night Football on defenses that are basically better than yours?
I don't think it says anything about Merriweather. He's since been benched. I've said all along, I've maintained it. I would really like...
Anderson Page.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Page. He's been benched,
well,
too.
Page has been benched,
he
too.
He was inactive last week, but... I'd take him back. I would take Sanders back. I would take Page back. I wouldn't take Merriweather. I saw enough of him. But certainly there's a lack of talent and personnel right now at both safety and corner. To me, that's a fact. It's not any kind of opinion, to steal a line from Michael Felger. And that's an issue. That's a flat-out issue. It is what it is.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about Belichick, the GM. I don't want to take anything away from the coach, because I think you play him, and if he's got comparable talent or even a notch below, he'll find a way to beat you. But I think when you guys say Belichick, the GM, has hurt Belichick, the coach, I don't think that's entirely accurate. I think Belichick, the GM, has chained up Belichick, the coach, somewhere in his basement and is keeping him up all night with amphetamines so that by the time he gets to the draft, he doesn't know which side has the talent on it.
It's not just the draft. We could also argue some of the trades and free agent signings haven't worked out either.
You know what he has done? Belichick, the GM, has done the impossible. He has changed the meaning of value in my mental vocabulary. Value has become a negative term. If I was getting
shown houses, I could not agree with you more.
If I was getting shown houses and the realtor said, hey, you know, for the location and, you know, the size is pretty good value, I would not feel inclined to purchase that property. I would feel as though, yeah, okay, maybe it's got a lot of small rooms that you can do a lot of things in, but half of those rooms are probably in disrepair. And in 2 years, I'll just abandon it for no compensation so I can go live in a crappier house off the foreclosure list.
That is a tremendous, tremendous job.
That's a great analogy.
And it's true. We now say value is a bad word.
It is. And he's not the only one. A lot of people think that way. And it's because of the amount of times we've been banged over the head with the term in the draft. And I think you bring up a great point, Andy. It's not just draft picks.
Right.
It's been a lot of missteps in free agency with
and trades.
The other way.
Don't forget trades now.
With the other way, the value going the other way.
Right.
We're going to give $4 million or $5 million for Sean Ellis?
$4 million.
$6.5 million for Chad Ochocinco. Those are not cheap deals.
No.
I was surprised when they actually made the pick at 17, but then when I heard who the player was, I wasn't surprised at all. Because you know what? Yeah, really safe pick, a lineman. Yeah, that's somebody Belichick would actually risk a first.
He's going to be my left tackle for the next 10 years. I'll give him first round money. I'm right with you.
And he doesn't have to be perfect. Even when he messes, I mean, Matt Light has been a Pro Bowl left tackle. He's not perfect. He gets beat. You know, we've had enough criticisms of him over the years at various points.
He'd have to be a colossal bust
to not play. Right.
For you to get hurt. Whereas if he's a cornerback and he's a little bit of a bust, well, he's out there exposed.
Toasted.
For everybody.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
Dan, outstanding call.
Tell Harriet we said hello. Yeah, you just one-upped Anthony from Naples. You had the much better call today, even though you never put Harriet on because we wanted to talk to her.
The thing I liked about it wasn't just like everything is gloom and doom and you know, this team. We know this team is good. We know this team's going to win games. We know this team has had a lot of success. But what else do we know? Well, we know that they've struggled a little bit lately in the draft. We know they've struggled a little bit lately in some free agent signings. And I just, the way he tied it all in, I thought was just a good way to do it.
Quick email before we get back to the phones, because they are stacking up, as Fred Kirsch likes to say, on 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, here inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios at Gillette Stadium. But we're going to go to an email because the subject heading was Wilson Hart.
Andy Hart.
It has my name in it. I go to it. Andy, congrats on the Wilson Hart power rating. Time will tell whether or not it is accurate, but I applaud you for creating it and posting it for no other reason than you had the courage to publish something that runs counter to the quote-unquote expert opinions, or worse, gut feelings. P.S. Is Bill Belichick a control freak, or is Robert Kraft thrifty? Bill needs help. Paul, you want to handle that last one?
No. I don't know the answer.
I think Bill's a control freak. I think all great people, in my opinion, are... my guess is Steve Jobs was a control freak. Right? I mean, isn't that generally... how most great people are pretty controlling, because they know the right way, they've seen the right way, and they want the right way carried out, right?
Makes sense. Absolutely. That makes sense.
So I don't necessarily think when you are in a position of power of a corporation, and this is a corporation that he runs, he's at the top of the pyramid, I think you have to some level be a control freak. Now, maybe it was a little different when Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss were here, maybe there was a little bit more comfort in his VPs or whatever you want to call them, slightly right. below him. But my guess is there were times when Steve Jobs had people right below him that he felt more or less comfortable with. I mean, I think that's...
Do you think there's an element of Bill that he kind of likes it, you know, like the whole promote from within thing?
That's an issue.
But he likes it because, not necessarily that people won't question him. He's talked about he needs to have more of that in
yes.
the past. So I'm not saying he doesn't like, he likes it when people won't question him, but he likes to know that this is the system that we have. And I don't want anybody coming in saying, yeah, Bill, but what if we did, you know, let's tinker with your system and do this. I don't think he's interested in really doing that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Charlie and Romeo might say, Bill, you sure you want to game plan this particular team that way? That's different. Dom Capers comes in and he might say, Bill, we're running a 3-4, but we're not getting after it at
right.
all. That's a whole change in philosophy.
And he'll never go that route.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
Control freak? Is that a control freak?
No, I don't think so. I think then they're all control freaks. I think most coaches stick with what they know, what they do. I think it's very rare for somebody to just flick
yeah.
a switch.
Well, that's why Mike Tomlin did.
But I don't think
that's
he's
really interesting.
To me, he
it's
was a young, up and coming defensive coordinator. He was not entrenched in decades of the same. This is what I do.
You may be right. I don't know enough about Tomlin to know.
I just think that's kind of the difference. I mean, you think of Belichick. This goes back to the 80s. So you're going 80s, 90s. You're 25 years in where people are saying, maybe you need to change. Maybe this isn't working. And he falls back on the Pioli thing. This defense was dead in 85. This defense was dead in 90. Was dead. You know, they've had enough success with it in times when people questioned it and his ways that I think he is pretty accurate in being faithful to his
my
ways.
Questions with it wouldn't be necessarily that the system can't work anymore, but whether or not you have the players to work your system the way you want to do it.
Well, but he changed it this year. He said, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
He went 4-3.
No, this was totally different. This is not relevant to the current situation.
Now, this person we're going to go to on the Ace Ticket hotline right now, probably wondering why he had to wait so long. The most interesting Pats fan in the world, also known as our Tuesday lunch buyer, joins us now to talk about donkeys.
Hey, ladies. Long time no speak. How
Where you been?
No, that's not nice.
You open up a farm, you get some donkeys, and you got no time for your PFW buds?
It's busy. It's a busy life, mucking out and getting the house ready and stuff like that. But I've been listening religiously to the podcasts every day and things like that. So
have you literally been shoveling donkey poo lately?
I am actually in a paddock now, and I looked to the wife, and I said, I actually have to take a break from this to speak to you guys.
From one poop to the next.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. No, so yeah, how's things? I seem to be in a minority on a number of issues, but one of them is
your bank account.
Well, maybe one of those.
You one percenter
having five donkeys. But no, the beginning of the year, I sort of thought, I think we're going to have four or five losses, and I think we're still on course for that. So I don't know.
I think it's difficult to analyze
every single game. You have a chance to win every single game.
Yes.
So if you analyze each game individually, then of course you're going to be, we should have won this one, that one, and the other one. I still don't see people's opinion at the beginning of the season how it's changed. Yeah, I agree there's a little bit of downside on the defense. They're a lot worse than I thought they could be. But I don't think it's time to sort of panic, take duties away from Bill Belichick and things like that. I just think it's the season's turning out how most of us thought it would turn out.
Okay, just flip the calendar forward a couple clicks and we're in January now. Do you feel worse about your chances to win a game or two games or three games in January? Because I think that's what, in the beginning of the year, people were saying it's no longer about the regular season. Now it's about getting back to winning postseason games. Well, are you capable of winning postseason games?
And I think that relies on one thing. If Tom Brady plays to his ability, we'll pretty much win any game.
Okay.
And I think the past playoff games has done that. Now, admittedly, if we put all our eggs in one basket and rely on Tom Brady to win everything, yes, I mean, that puts us still in a better position than most teams, but again, it's not a great position to be in. I'd much rather let our defense be able to hand stuff, have to run the ball to run the clock out and things like that. But fundamentally, as the team stands, I think we've still got a good chance because we've got Tom Brady. Could we be in a better position? Yes, but I think people are trying to, the Green Bay Packers is a great franchise. The Steelers are a great franchise. I think we're up there with them.
Oh, yes.
And I think people are tending to be slightly perfectionist. Now, you're never going to take any duties away from Bill Belichick, so it's a mute point anyway.
Although I agree.
I have no problem discussing it and things like that. So I think it's more useful to talk about theoretical things they should do. And again, I haven't I may be in a minority here. Some of the draft things I've disagreed with, but I've never come out of a draft saying I would have done that totally differently. Oh, I would have taken another player at position 17, at Rafi Dowling, I would have taken someone else. So I can't honestly stand here and say that I can see them with hindsight, I would have done a better job.
That's not what you were saying at the draft last year. You were ripping every pick.
Really? My memory is very short when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, so is mine. No, I think what you're saying, I think we're providing a service this week of letting people vent, essentially.
It's a little bit of therapy.
Yeah, group therapy. Yeah, you need to yell. You need to get it out. You need to cry. You need to do whatever you need to do this week. But you'll feel better this weekend when they beat the Giants and we're moving forward towards a 12-win or 11-win season, as you said, like we thought at the beginning.
Yeah, I agree with James wholeheartedly. I picked 11-5. I'm actually leaning more toward 12-4 now.
Yes, because I had San Diego down as a loss.
Exactly the game that I had down as a loss.
Yeah, and I always throw in there one mysterious one, which was the Buffalo one.
Buffalo.
Bengals one from last, the Cleveland one from last year is obviously the one this year. So I still think we're, and as for venting, I just say bottle that stuff down low for 30 years and then, just go into Walmart and shoot a bunch of people.
Okay, good to know, good to know.
Probably not the best advice there, James.
James, thank you. James, we will talk to you down the road, and I may even see you down the road, Paul.
Thanks, my friend.
Put a trip together to the donkey farm.
Yeah, I think we're efforting.
That'll
that.
Be fun. Now we're going to stay with the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, stacked up here, and we're going to go out to Western Mass to speak with Orlando in Springfield. Orlando,
the Big O. Hey,
are you worried?
Fellas, it's nice to talk to you guys again. Listen, also it's nice to hear James again. It's always a pleasure to hear him on here.
Not as much as a pleasure it is to eat his lunch every Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it tastes great. That really sounded weird. Anyway, look, it's kind of ironic that I called a couple shows back and I was talking about Gronkowski, about how I hate to open up the paper and read about him doing something stupid. You know, it's pretty surprising that, you know, I open it up and it's, you know, Edelman supposedly doing something stupid.
Yes.
You know, obviously I want to reserve judgment. I hope that, you know, it was a misunderstanding or if these people are lying. Obviously I hope he didn't do it, but if he did, he's got to go.
Well,
not even really so much just for that, but the fact that he's not doing anything and, you know, just a dumb decision. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't need any more distractions. You know what I mean? Considering the way this team is playing.
Yeah, I err on the side of keeping an open mind in these cases because I think we've all been in this type of a situation where you're drunk, she's drunk, somebody else is drunk, it's 1:30 a.m., and you don't know what transpired the 10 minutes before.
Someone, you know, you're on a crowded dance floor, you know, you're getting pushed around, and I'm not trying to make excuses for
I don't know if I go down that road, but I'm just
saying,
she was rubbing something of his.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, very true, very true.
You know what
Maybe
I mean?
You misinterpret something that may have happened. That's what you're in a very tight, I don't know what happened. But you're in a very tight space, and maybe you misinterpreted something.
And that doesn't make it okay.
No, it does not.
But now we're hearing rumblings that she didn't even want to pursue it, and maybe her boyfriend or male friend.
And which tells me that maybe he figured out, well, I know who this is, and maybe I could get something out of it.
Or, you know, I'm not saying they should have to deal with it, but I actually exchanged some tweets this morning with one of our female listeners who lives in Europe and does a lot of clubbing. She's young. And she said
that
a number of times she's had hands inappropriately touching her, and generally it involves one of her friends, kind of a male friend deals with it or whatever, but it doesn't always lead to arrests and lawsuits
and
lawyers.
It doesn't make it right.
No, but...
You know, and listen, he was arraigned and all that, and the court system will handle it.
But there's already talk the charges could be lessened or even
because
dropped.
She doesn't want, but it sounds like she doesn't want to have... I mean, her representative just continues to say... She's a private person. She doesn't want to be in the spotlight.
But I mean,
okay, this goes back to that whole issue of, all right, you're a professional athlete. You know what I mean? If like I said, if he was drunk, or if
don't put yourself in that spot.
Exactly. Don't put yourself in that. Have somebody be like, hey, listen, you know, let's go. We got to go. You know, because it's like, you know, if something happens like this to any Joe Blow, it's not in the paper. The minute something happens, the first thing is Patriots play.
You know,
so-and-so is in it.
I agree with you 100%, and the only real way to avoid that is to stay home or be at a friend's house, you know, make sure you're always at so-and-so's house. You know, we do this, even if we're, you know, drinking a little bit. But, you know, guys have gone down the road of trying to make sure they had people with them, posses, whatever. And in the case of Ben Roethlisberger, one was a state trooper who was enabling the situation.
Well,
so
yeah,
situations can
different.
Be magnified. And I think sometimes when everybody's out at 1:30 and your boys who are supposed to be helping you, it's just a slippery slope. The only way to truly avoid it is to stay out of those situations. The old thing that, you know, nothing good happens after midnight or whatever time you want to put there is be home at that time.
Hey, listen, guys, just before I go, I just want to touch, you know, based on this defense, I'm trying to find the words here to somehow tell myself that it's going to be all right, but I don't think it's going to be all right.
Red zone.
For God's sakes, man, we can't win. We're not going to win. We're not going to win the championship with this defense playing the way it is, especially that secondary. You know, man, I read, like, an interview. One of the Patriots players was like, well, we got a chip on our shoulder. We got a chip on our shoulder. Now, you know what? Nothing for nothing, but you know when they should have had that chip on their shoulder? Week one, man. That's when they should have had a chip on their shoulder. This defense is playing like absolute doo-doo. Caca defense is what it is, man. And let me tell you something, man. We are going to get our butts handed to us. We are going to get bounced in the first round because these guys cannot seem to get it together back there. And for that other guy who called talking about, well, maybe we should bring back that penalty machine in the secondary that we had. Screw that, man. Leave that guy in Chicago. Dump him in the bottom of Lake Michigan. He's their problem, not our problem anymore. We got enough stuff to deal with.
Okay, Orlando, thank you for the call. I'm going to drop you before cuckoo and caca turns into the real thing and we get in trouble.
This is outstanding.
This was the best
line of callers that we've ever had today.
Yeah, losing tends to bring out emotion in people.
That's true.
Winning's boring.
But I just like the passion, man. I mean, this is like, this means something.
And, Paul, they are still stacking up on the Ace
this
Ticket
means
Hotline.
Something.
508-298-0398. We're going to head out to Rob Gronkowski's old stomping grounds at the University of Arizona and go to Derek. Derek, you've been hanging on for a little bit. Thank you. What do you want to talk about today?
Man, everything and anything, really.
Yeah.
It's
you get anything positive?
Callers, though.
Can you get any positive? You want to boost us up a little bit, a little something?
How about a tangent? Andy and I could go off on a tangent. You seen any good movies lately?
No, I don't really watch a lot of movies, but I'll tell you right now, it was pretty funny. I got a good laugh at it. When Anthony's talking about AT&T service, and then you couldn't hear a word he was saying.
That was a tremendous, tremendous job by him.
And who's the guy with the is it Dan with the dog Harriet?
Dan and Harriet, yes, our favorite callers.
Yeah, he his value, you know, home comparison, you know, metaphor, analogy, whatever you want to say, that was absolute gold.
Like, Bill could single-handedly put True Value Hardware out of business because people are like, oh, that's crap. I'm going to get screwed. I'm going to pay too much, and it'll never work.
You get a screwdriver, and it breaks.
Right.
And I haven't listened to the show yet, yesterday's show yet. I'm going to do that later this afternoon. But
I was good, just so you know. I had a good show.
Well, there's a third. Yeah, no, there's about a 20-minute segment in there that you really have to listen to.
If you like virtual reality sex, there'll be a little bit of that in there. I'm just letting you know.
Nocturnal emissions?
Okay, so what do you got?
All right, well, you know, I kind of wanted to talk about the whole coverage situation, you know, right now. What did you guys think about, you know, for me, the biggest, most frustrating thing for yesterday, or I should say Sunday's game, is, you know, the whole soft zone the Patriots played. You know, it seemed like they were playing way too far back. And, you know, they were all spread out, and there was a lot of lack of discipline, and the tackling sucked, you know, but I think you just mentioned it a couple minutes ago, Andy, about the whole how they were getting killed in man coverage the first two games. You know, I can still remember, you know, especially in the second game, you know, Devin McCourty just getting beat. You know, it's like they were playing bump and run coverage and they forgot the bump. You know, but after
the run.
Sunday's game, I'm almost, you know, I've talked myself into the fact I'd rather get beat playing man than this weak-ass zone we've been playing. It's awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old thing. We've had this discussion. You know, Ellis Hobbs is always criticized for the soft coverage being 12 yards off. And when they get beat by man, you want to go to zone. It's kind of like the head coaching thing. When you have a disciplinarian, you want to go to the player's coach. When you're the player's coach, you want to go. But the issue to me right now is just talent. I don't care if it's zone or man.
Yeah.
Cause you know what the coaches always tell you? Zone coverage is man within your zone. It's still about just covering a man who's near you. And they can't cover the man who's near him, whether he's near him at the line and they're supposed to run with him, or whether he's near them and he enters their zone. The bottom line is, they're not close to the man with the ball.
Yeah, no, I'm right with you. But and you know, going along with, you know, the talent and stuff, I cannot believe that I'm hearing things like are we actually hearing bring back Brandon Merriweather? Like, I've seen so much of that on Twitter. Like, oh, I wish we could bring him back, and why do we get rid of him? That's garbage. He's awful. We got rid of him for a reason. And Bodden, too. I think Bodden's better than Phillip Adams. No disrespect to Phillip Adams. But, you know, he looked old out there. He wasn't playing well, you know, and I don't know. I can see I know the frustration, and I know everyone has a lot to say about this game. And you know, when you lose like that, there's a lot to digest and discuss. I understand all that, but really, Brandon Merriweather we're talking about right now.
All right. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate the call. And take advantage of where you are. I know you're a little down, the Patriots lose.
Get out.
Go out on the campus. There's a lot of hot blondes wearing not a lot of clothes. That will lift your spirits, you know, your spirits,
more ways
quote
than
unquote.
One.
And you have something New Englanders don't right now because, A, you have hot girls and nice weather. You probably have power, which a lot of New Englanders don't have right now. So take advantage of your situation. Come back on Sunday, and you'll see a win for the Patriots. We're going to get to one more call before we go to the break. I know I'm pulling a Fred and just blowing right through the first hour.
This is a show worth blowing by a break.
When the calls are decked out, when we're getting this kind of passion from PFW fans, from Patriots fans, we got to allow them to vent. We got to do our service. Fred Kirsch isn't here to, you know, tell them that, you know, everything's okay and then tell them they're not going to make the playoffs and somehow confuse them mentally. We're here to tell you the defense is an issue. The offense hasn't been great, but in the long run, you're going to get to where you thought you'd get to start the year. And that's early in January saying, can we beat this opponent this week? That's where you'll be come then. Let's not go too far in either direction right now. And a guy who is always, always very grounded because he deals with groundwater is our friend Chris with a T-I-A-N. That's Chris with a T-I-N joining us now. How are you?
I'm excellent. That's a great intro. Always grounded because he monitors the groundwater. I like it.
Well, you know, I try my best when I'm in this chair. In the other chair, not so much. But this chair, I got to step it up.
Well, it sounds good. I got one question for you.
Uh-oh.
How many 5-hour IEDs did you have today?
None. I'm actually starving. I've had nothing. I've had
sure?
No, seriously, I've had nothing. They brought in a pizza, but because I'm hosting and Paul's in the other chair, he's had like 6 slices. I haven't touched the pizza.
Are you high?
He's drank about 17 Diet Pepsis in the course
me?
Of this show. I've had nothing, and this is all natural. This is
an unbelievable fabrication.
This is testosterone. This is energy. This is the real deal. I don't need any fake stuff, Christian.
I had 3 slices of pizza.
Right. Wow, you doubled them up, 6 slices. You only had 3, see?
And one of them was a little itty-bitty slice of pepperoni. Kevin can vouch for me that he threw on the top. It was like a half a slice.
Okay, let's get past my eating.
By the way, Mike Giardi was claiming that he licked his fingers and touched all the pieces on that pizza.
That's Mike okay. Giardi's a clown, a colossal clown.
We got to get him on this show.
We should. I would
bat him around
like you wouldn't believe, like I do on Twitter. Anyway, Christian,
but
what
the
do you
Diet
got?
Pepsi is very good.
What do you got Patriots related? Are you on the edge of the bridge? Are you on the Tobin right now?
Yeah, I was yesterday and the day before, but now that I've had like 48 hours to sort of, you know, smooth it all out, I'm back to we're 5-2 and we're gonna make the playoffs and we have enough games to improve. That's where I'm back to. I ripped the drafting and everything yesterday. I got that out of my system. So it's out of my system. I'm looking at the schedule right now. We're 5-2. Probably maybe another 2 or 3 losses. We're gonna have around 4 or 5 losses, just like, you know, Paul thinks.
So, Christian, you fired Bill yesterday on the show, but today you said, you said, Bill, you know what? I was a little harsh. I was reactionary. Why don't you come back in? We're cool. You can pick the players still.
I fired the GM, not the coach, like I actually have a choice. because Anthony's dead wrong. There's no way. If you ever go to Bill, I don't care how you put it, and say, listen, you know, we're going to bring it. Bye.
Yeah, you can sugarcoat it and come up with this perfect phrasing however you want.
Kevin Colbert's interested in coming to New England, Bill. What do you think of him and picking your...
Oh, that'd be great.
Get out.
Get out.
It's not happening. Yeah. So, I mean, that's clearly not happening.
Christian, let me pose you a question. You just said, you know, the same thing. We're back to where we started and we're going to be in the playoffs and all that. I have this theory, and I think I've talked about it a little bit on the show, but everybody makes out like, you know, they could never win a playoff game ever. But I think both of those games, using my butterfly effect, and I'm talking about the Ravens game.
Who says they could never win a playoff
game? It gets mocked
in.
People like No Socks is like, you know, this team is absolutely atrocious in the postseason. And they've laid eggs. Don't get me wrong, but I believe the butterfly effect theory, they could have won both those games. Joe Flacco couldn't get out of his own way. If that dish didn't spiral out of control early with the big play and then the strip sack and all that, I think you could win that game. And that's a tough matchup for them. That's a good defense. That's a physical team. And then against the Jets, you know, as Robert Kraft said, if you don't throw that lazy interception and you catch a touchdown,
maybe you go into the game with a game plan.
Right. If you do all those things, I think those games are winnable. It's not like you've looked like you can't compete. Like you're the 1A team, team against the 1A team.
Being serious, these games are so close. And Bill says this all the time. You boil all of these games down to a handful of plays.
Right.
And they're so even. The teams are so evenly matched almost on a week-to-week basis. Forget about the playoffs. Even during the season, one, you know, little run of success during the course of a game that allows you to get a two-score lead or whatever.
And the emotion that ensues,
and then you
that
just,
snowball.
You follow off of that. Let's just say, for argument's sake, the Patriots won the coin toss against Baltimore and went right down the field and made it 7-0. Maybe Ray Rice doesn't go 83 for a touchdown on the first offensive play for Baltimore. And
Maybe
Flacco
stumble and Joe Flacco
has to
falls
throw
on his face.
He could not physically
right.
play that day.
So
he
I just,
only threw 10 passes.
Like, when I'm on one of my rants, it's easy for me to say, well, your last three playoff games, you've laid an egg and you this and that. But if you look at it objectively and in four quarters and how the game played out, I don't think they're that far away.
Now, the flip side of that, though, guys, is a lot of the playoff games they won.
Right.
You could say the same thing about the other way.
Falls in line with Bill. You know, it's so close. The edge between winning and losing, between 14-2 and going on to win the Super Bowl and 14-2 and getting blown out of the first playoff game is close.
Virtually every playoff win they've had, you know, with very few exceptions, easily could have swung on a play or two.
And doesn't that get back to a couple playmakers? You know, guys that make key plays instead of giving them up at the key times. It's Rodney Harrison. It's Teddy Bruschi. You don't have to have all of them necessarily. You have to have the guy that makes that one play that really can change a game.
Well, that was the reason they were going out and getting guys like Haynesworth and Ochocinco, to get a guy that could make that play to put them over the top when they needed it.
No one pulls the plug on our positive spin like you.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
We were feeling good there for a minute, and
Andy
you had to bring those up.
Andy and I are widely considered to be negative on this show. We're trying to get everybody back on track, moving forward to the Giants, Christian.
Fred didn't do it.
You're not helping. You're not helping, Christian.
With the
hammering of the personnel moves.
No, that was yesterday.
This is the new Christian. We're
right.
back.
It's a new day.
All right, Christian. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you down the road. You can jump on the phone now because finally
we've
cleared the boards.
Is smoking.
We were flashing
hot.
Four and five lines there that whole time. First hour of the show in PFW in progress here on Patriots.com. Kicking butt. We're live in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Join us in the second hour, web radio at Patriots.com or on the Ace Ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
that?
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, or web radio at patriots.com.
Back in!
Well, I got blue on, not black, but PFW in Progress, second hour here on patriots.com radio. A very, very active day here. Fans continuing to vent, although 48 hours later, it is starting to sway a little bit towards some positive thinking and calming thoughts of the Giants are an NFC team coming to town. Patriots have a great record here at Gillette Stadium against NFC teams. Haven't lost since the opener against an NFC opponent, against the Green Bay Packers in 02. And, you know, they don't lose two in a row. Giants have a questionable pass defense, although the rush is obviously very good and very similar to the rush that this team met in that game we don't talk about here on Patriots.com. But we're going to continue to serve as group therapy, as Paul Perillo calls it. No shock therapy here. It's group therapy.
Although I could use a little of that.
Shock therapy?
Yeah.
I've never had it, so I don't know.
I need something.
Started on The Simpsons once. But
my whole house is sick, Andy. Everybody.
Really?
Yeah. Both kids home from school today.
Oh.
Yeah.
From you?
Which direction is it going? I think they gave it to me.
That's how it is. Those schools. Yeah. Damn breeding ground for illness.
Actually, my wife was going to take TJ because he had his class picture today. So she was going to take him to hopefully get his picture done and then take him right home.
I hear you. Day off.
But Will, work. 2 days in a row for Will.
Email us here at webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com, or call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, who I think we now are reaching record numbers on the calls today as they continue to pour in. We've got a couple lines filled right now, but a couple more are open. 508-298-0398 to jump aboard the Ace Ticket Hotline. Live inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm going to read a quick email before I get back to the phones. And this one is from... it says Chad Lundahl, and he spells it like a Swedish man I've been fighting with on the blog of late, so I wonder if it is indeed the same person. I'm not sure. Seems to have a similar tone, so I'm going to assume it is, and I like fighting with him online. I hope he doesn't take it personally, because I certainly do not. It says, hello, crew. Wait a second. Packers pass defense is ranked 29th and 25th in overall defense. Are the Packers a disgusting defense? No, they're better than the Patriots based on those numbers.
You haven't watched any games then.
No! Exclamation point. We have Pro Bowl players on our team, but the coaching is bad. Enough of the zone coverage. Let's play man-to-man. Let's shut down the tight end as we did at the beginning, and we'll be fine. Obviously, cutting Bodden and Sanders is a mistake. But you think the Jets' D is better? Really? Matt Chorizo? Sione Pua? Ropati? Whatever his name is, you call that defense? No way. Even with the Molden and Ahedebo, we can win. Pats have to maintain the no-huddle offense, play the last drive they did versus the Cowboys on their first possession. Mark my word, Patriots are the best team in the AFC. Pats fans need to remember where we were in 2000. Go ahead, Paul.
The 2000 defense was better than this one.
I've maintained all along, except for that slight stretch where I was swayed by those two performances, that this is the worst defense we've ever seen.
In all seriousness, the Patriots defense, if you're looking at the Jets and Green Bay and you think that the personnel that the Patriots are putting out there every week is on par or better than those two teams, you're not really paying attention. There's really no comparison. You're calling for man coverage, as Andy pointed out, accurately. They opened the season playing man coverage. The first couple of games, first three games, didn't work well. They've gone to zone, didn't work well. They've given up 21 points in every game but one. 21 or more points in every game but one. That's not a fluke. That's what you are. At this point, 6 out of 7 games, you've allowed 21 or more points. You know, just to put that in perspective, you know, the whole 8.5-point spread, you got to get to 30 to cover that 8.5-point spread. That's what they have to do.
Right.
That spread's a little high for me.
Luckily, they can.
Yeah, they can. No question they can. They did it the first, what,
along
four
the,
games?
Along those Five lines, games? Paul Perillo, we kind of resorting to name-calling here. Our friend Thomas Esposito chimes in. Listen,
Espo,
all you people who keep saying that, calling in and saying the offense is the problem are morons. You can't expect to put up 30 points a game. It doesn't happen, especially against a good defense. The problem come January is we can't win without at least a decent defense.
I would agree that the offense is better than the defense.
Paul just broke out his cool voice.
I would agree with that. I would agree that the offense is better than the defense. I don't know how you can argue against that.
You can't. Now we're going to go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. A couple guys have been hanging on. Another one is ringing in there. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Anthony in California, our second Anthony of the day, joining us here on PFW in Progress. Anthony, what do you got for us?
How you doing, guys?
Tremendous.
All right. I just had a quick statement to make, and I want to see what you guys think about it.
Go.
I think Bill Belichick is a great player manager. I think he's atrocious as a GM, and I think he's mediocre as a coach. And the reason I say mediocre is because he's such a great player manager. I find it hard to believe that everybody on defense sucks. I think if Rex Ryan was coaching, we would not be 32nd ranked defense.
Okay, can I just ask for a clarification between the player manager and the coach? What? How do you draw those differentiations?
Well, I think he knows how to
get the most out of
line, so to speak. Okay. You see what I'm saying? Like, how they all say the same thing for the interviews and stuff like that. I think he's great with player managing and keeping the troops in line. But as a coach, I'm losing faith.
So X's and O's wise, he leaves something to be desired for you.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. That's interesting, because that's the first criticism we've had of that. Bill Belichick, the X and O's guy, the game planner. That is generally, even when people criticize the GM and the drafting and the track record and free agency and all that, they still say the positives of having the best coach outweighs all those negatives. Now, if that's truly the case, if you don't think he is a good coach, well, now you start to say, well, what is he good at? Is he just good at managing media interviews and those types of things? Now, I don't necessarily believe it.
I think he's great at keeping his players in the right mindset.
Okay.
And when I say that, I mean every game is important, respect every opponent, and all of that. I think he's excellent at that.
But do you think that's enough to live on? I mean, isn't that one of the...
Well, it's not enough to win a Super Bowl, but it's enough to win a lot of games.
Okay. Is it enough to keep
every opponent, and if you treat every opponent equally?
Okay, Anthony, let's pretend your name is Anthony Kraft and you've inherited this team.
Right.
Is what you just said enough for a man to keep his job? Because, I mean, people have been calling for his job. That's what we're talking about this week.
Right. Is it enough? For me, I would say yes, because you're winning so many regular season games and it's good for business. If you were to move him, if as a fan, I would say no. But if my last name was Kraft, I would have to keep him there. Because it would make me look like an idiot.
I think he's. I agree with Andy. Anthony.
Anthony, thank you for the call. Enjoy California. Same thing I told Derek. Get out and enjoy the weather.
I agree with you. I think he's a better X's and O's coach than that.
He may certainly be overrated there. I'm not sure he's a genius like everybody throws that label around.
We definitely go to extremes both ways. You know, these guys know what they're doing. You know, but. I think I've looked at enough games where I've looked at the players matching up player for player on one side or the other and have Bill Belichick come out on top, 75% of the time? Come on. There's some X's and O's involved in there. I think he's an unbelievable, in terms of preparation, game plan. And I don't dismiss what Anthony said about his game managing, player managing skills. They're amazing at sticking to the script. No distractions. And, you know, avoid the noise. All the little cliches that we've come to adopt over the years. I think he's outstanding at it.
I think he's so good I've criticized him for that, because I think sometimes that hurts them in the postseason when they need to ratchet it up.
Yeah.
I think they are stay the course, and maybe you need to kind of lift it.
And in your defense, when we got off the plane in Arizona and we it was just another game and all that stuff, you were well before the game, you were saying, they have a chance to be 19-0 here. They should walk with a swagger and act like they're about to make history here.
Yep.
Whereas the Giants got off and they said they were all wearing black because we're going to a funeral. And they had made no bones about it. They were 10-6 and the Patriots were 16-0, but they didn't care. They had played the Patriots and they knew they could match up with them, and
yep,
they did.
They did. And that same Giants team, or some aspect of that Giants team, Bill poo-pooed any talk of the Super Bowl really today, but the fact remains, some of the guys are on the team. Justin Tuck, OCU Mignora, sure. Eli Manning. There are certainly guys that you'll see on Sunday here at Gillette Stadium for this matchup of 5-2 teams that were participants in that Super Bowl. Yeah,
Corey Webster was there too, wasn't he?
Sure.
No
idea.
Well, he's had a really strong year.
Okay. Corey Webster, according to Paul Perillo, was also playing in that Super Bowl out in Arizona.
I didn't say that. Oh. I said, wasn't he? I asked. There was a question.
Well, you can't ask me, so ask somebody else. Ask Strippers. He'll email it in. But before we get back to the emails, because as Fred would say, those are piling up too. I see why he gets so overwhelmed. The emails come in, the calls come in. You want to talk to everybody.
First of all, Fred's never been involved in a show that's had this much participation with the audience.
That's
true. We've had way more phone calls with you and I here than Fred's ever gotten. So I don't want to hear anybody ever again say, Fred, you can't leave the two idiots alone.
Well, one idiot anyway. Anyway, we're going to go to Georgia, where Big Daddy has been waiting on the line for quite a while now, and he wants to join the discussion. I'm hoping, Big Daddy, you're going to be positive for me. Bring it.
I am going to be positive.
Excellent, yes. Big Daddy.
Somebody voice. What the hell is going on around here? I'm just sick and tired of these spoiled brat Patriot fans.
We are spoiled.
Crying. In the last 25 regular season games, we are 21-4.
Yep.
21-4.
That's pretty good.
Nice of you to skip the postseason.
He said regular season games. If the NFL can do it, why can't Big Daddy?
I have three rings. We can't win every year. We're not the only team vying for a championship who wants to win.
They get paid too, you know.
Hello, if Pittsburgh wants to win.
You're going to be playing on Sundays.
Green Bay wants to win. Everybody wants to win.
That's true.
The only thing I have a problem with, I hear you guys talking about our rookies regressing. I think we hire sometimes too many free agents and don't give a chance for a Jermaine Cunningham to get on the field or Taylor Price to get on the field to develop, to get better in the system. You got Ocho Cinco taking some of the reps from Price. We traded Brandon Tate, which I think was a bad trade. I think Brandon Tate was going to be a good receiver, but we expected him to be Randy Moss, and he's not Randy Moss.
Yeah,
he's Brandon Tate.
I would lump him in with Brandon Merriweather. I saw enough of him. I agree with you on some of the people. We don't give him a chance. I would say Taylor Price, the guy, hasn't had a chance. Jermaine Cunningham had an entire rookie season where I didn't see one reason to believe, really, that he was going to be an elite player, and he was a healthy scratch last week. So, and just to clarify, Tate was actually cut, right? He was not traded.
That is correct.
They just decided to part ways with him. Sure, I'd like to have his return ability now that I know that we don't have any at this point in time.
But I do think that the point that Big Daddy's trying to make is, you know, how much better is Sean Ellis than Jermaine Cunningham was last year? You know,
not significantly.
So you're taking a guy who's going into his second year and you're looking for some improvement there in that quote unquote year two jump, and he's been a complete utter non-factor.
But they clearly expected Ocho Cinco to be better. They thought they paid $10 million between those two people because they thought they were going to be leaders on both sides of the ball, make plays that could change games.
I agree, but you can't be wrong.
So that's why everybody wants to fire Bill the GM.
No, I don't want to. Listen, no one wants to fire Bill the GM, really. I think all these people, if they were rational about
Christian
it.
Christian on Tuesday, Anthony both days.
No, and Anthony's the only one who stuck with his guns. Christian went back and said, I was a little emotional yesterday. And we gave him a pass. We were all a little emotional yesterday.
Big Daddy, where do you stand? Do you have a lot of frustration with Bill Belichick right now?
The only thing I wonder, why would you cut somebody like Lee Barden in the middle of the season when you know that we didn't have OTAs and camp, and you got a lot of young guys who don't really know the system, and he's like a James Sanders. If you all kind of knew that you're going to get rid of Merriweather, why would you cut James Sanders?
I agree with you on that one, because to me, nothing changed. I think something probably changed with Baudin, whether it's the rotation. And I know we all say, well, he's got to be better than Phillip Adams, or he's got to be better than Antoine Molden. Well, if he's not trying to be better than those guys, then he isn't. If he's being a detriment to your defense, if there's anything there beyond he's trying his best and he's working hard and he's team first, that could be the reason. I mean, that could be frustration that Bill has had to deal with for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I don't know how long. So that changed. The other one, to me, don't tell me when you cut James Sanders you didn't know you were probably going to cut Merriweather. That you didn't at least have an inkling you were going to cut him. So that's the one where I still don't understand that.
Did you guys hear anything about Lee Baudin saying something on an interview that may have ticked Bill off or something? I read that somewhere, but I can't find an interview saying that if he said anything.
No, I there was one reference to Oakland, him being unhappy that he was he didn't play in Oakland. Did he not make the trip? That he was unhappy there. There was some issue there. I've seen references vaguely to that. I don't know the extent of that story, but I'm not sure we'll ever know the whole story, but there's a story there. But the issue I think is interesting is, as far as I can tell, he's not on another team yet, right?
No, not yet.
He cleared waivers.
So, well, but even beyond that, he hasn't signed yet. He could have signed already. And if he were this great value, a veteran corner who's already cleared waivers, who I can sign for, you know, 800 grand or whatever, or prorated veteran minimum type deal, maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe he has either A, an injury, maybe B, the tape looks horrendous, or C, maybe there's a book out in terms of Lee Baudin, the guy. Just
well,
like, you know, there were rumbles.
He was going somewhere. He was flying out to visit someone. He tweeted that. He didn't say who or whatever, but he tweeted that last night.
No, I'm sure he'll get visits. But, I mean, if he were that good, somebody would say, we want him in as soon as possible to get, we might be able to play him this week. Let's get him on the field. Let's get practicing. Let's get rolling.
I think A and B are accurate there, by the way.
And he could be going down the road, maybe, I don't know this, Adalys Thomas 2.0, where there's some sort of a reputation out there and the baggage is too much for the
I don't
the
know
play.
About that part. That was C of your little scenario.
Right.
A and B, I think, the tape he probably has in 2011 isn't very impressive, and I'm pretty sure he is dealing
nicked
with some
up?
Physical
Who
things.
Knows?
Yeah, I heard he's nicked up. They said he stayed in the training room a lot, so that may be the problem. But Patriot fans need to understand, it's a long season, and quit panicking. We're still in first place. Buffalo plays the Jets this week, so either we'll be in first place, or the Jets get knocked down a peg. So we're in good shape.
I like the way you talk, man. Big Daddy in Georgia brought a little positivity to the show. And we're going to stick with the phone lines. Wow.
You glossed over that. Did you hear what he said?
What?
The Jets are playing Buffalo this week, so either we'll be in first place or the Jets will get knocked down a peg. Well, there is another.
Another
possibility.
Well, he's right, though. But he's right.
But there is another possibility.
But he's right. They're going to beat the Giants.
You know, Buffalo could win the game and the Patriots could lose. So the Jets got knocked down a peg and you could be in second place.
I spend an hour and 30 minutes working some positivity into Patriots.com
radio.
You're
doing a very good job
and
based on the calls.
Tear it down. It's a work in progress here.
You're not doing a very good job.
How's Bill's defense look? You think he's not working hard to put together a good defense? It's a work in progress.
I'm not so sure.
Wow. All the negativity in this town stinks.
Oh, shut up.
Rick Pitino was right. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go north of the border.
I like it better when you take the show off sitting over there.
North of the border for Gary in Prince Edward Island, Canada. Gary, how's life on the island?
Oh, great. It's getting cold, but it's still nice. We haven't got any snow yet. And that's surprising. We usually get it by now.
Yeah, well, we already got it.
We got a little snow.
I know, and it went right by us. All we got was a little bit of wind, which was, you know, makes me happy. You guys can have it all.
I think the wind blows.
Yeah. I just wanted to call first time, long time, and I think the show is great. I mean, you guys
have
gone over the top. I mean, the only thing we need for the cherry on top is a Fred Kirsch bumper butt story. That was perfect. You know, perfect. But, I mean, the callers have been awesome. You guys have been awesome. And I'm just having a great time.
Well, thank you. It sounds like you're staying very positive. You're bringing a little more positive flair to the show as we get in the second
Andy
hour.
Andy is. Andy's working his magic. He's getting him back.
He put it over the top for me. You know, I'm past the loss. You know, let's go forward. You know, let's get it out of the way.
And that's what Wednesday is. Wednesday is we've turned the page. It's game plan day. We're looking at the New York Giants, and the fact is, they have the same record as us. We can beat them. They're an NFC team. We always win against NFC teams. And we never lose two in a row. And we still have Tom Brady, and they still have Eli Manning.
And we never lose at home in the regular season.
No problem. one thing I wanted to throw at you guys, you know, we can't really do anything on defense. There's nobody out there to go get, you
right.
know. We're not going to go get Merriweather. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
You know? So we're going to have to live with what we got and just patchwork, and that's what Bill does, you know. But why don't we try to tweak the offense a little? Like, here's my idea. I don't know how, you know, Cleveland would react to it, but I really want Peyton Hillis. So we package up Benny, you know, and throw in like a sixth-round pick or something like that, and we get Hillis because the guy's a bull. He's having a hard time in Cleveland, you know. So don't waste him there. Try to bait him, get him here. If we had Hillis, that running game would be perfect, you know.
Well, Gary, thanks for the call in Canada. The trading deadline has passed, so I assume you mean for next year. And Hillis not happy with his contract. He's been banged up. He's had some back and forth in the media. I don't see that working out for the Patriots. I think they love Benny. For whatever he is physically in terms of natural gifts, everything else they absolutely adore about him. The no fumbling, the hard work, the saying the right thing, the doing the right thing. I think they love the total package that is Ben Jarvis Green Ellison. I don't think they would want to swap that for a guy who, yes, maybe more physically talented, a big bruiser, but you got some issues with contract, you got some issues with injuries, you got some issues with this and with that.
Right.
Benny is a good fit for these Patriots right now.
I agree. And Hillis' situation, he's looking for big money. So it doesn't really seem like it makes a lot of sense.
I want to offer up something that I posted on the PFW blog earlier this morning. No, it's not the rankings. You guys don't have to mock my rankings anymore. If you don't like them, you can just not read them. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to take shots at
me. It's more fun to be mean.
I know. That's what I do. So I agree with it. But I also offered up roster changes and lineup changes. And we talked about the first one, Taylor Price. Give him a chance on the outside to make some plays. Open up the passing game a little bit. Use his speed. Get down the field. Do some things. The other one. Mark Anderson, tied for the team lead, 4.5 sacks. The scouting report on Mark Anderson is, can't play the run at all. Luckily, no one's going to try to establish the run against this terrible pass defense. They're going to throw the ball.
Correct.
So with the injury to Sean Ellis, the rib injury, would it not make sense to maybe give Anderson some more reps, some more every down early game reps, and say, if they run at him a little bit, we win anyway because we don't want him to throw. And whether he's sacking them or he's luring them into running at him, so wouldn't it make sense to get Anderson maybe a few more reps?
Yeah, and I think especially if Ellis is banged up, but even if he weren't banged up, I think it makes sense to get him a little bit more time.
Put him at that left end spot.
Find out if he can get after the quarterback even when the game's not over. You know, that's all you got to do, and you got to figure it out from there. I feel like he consistently has gotten into the backfield in very limited reps, and I think your point is a good one. If they want to run the ball, let them run the ball. Teams aren't going to beat the Patriots by consistently trying to run the ball. They're a good run defense.
Right. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We went north. Now we're going south back into, we got Kevin from Louisiana. It's not actually Kevin Falk because I think he's at practice. And the last player that brought a cell phone to practice named Terry Glenn, it did not work out for him under Belichick. So I think this is a different Kevin from the Bayou State. But Kevin, welcome aboard. And you Southerners are always positive. So what are you going to bring today?
Well, I don't really think we should scratch him as GM. I think he probably made some boo-boos, but I mean, whatever drives, you're gonna make some hits and misses. I kind of question some of the things he did, like bringing certain players in. I think this point in the career Andre Carter is just a situational player. I mean, if you look at his sacks, I mean, just in certain situations, I think he's more of a situational pass rusher on third downs more.
Wait, are we talking Andre Carter or Mark Anderson?
I'm talking about both of them.
I think Andre Carter's had a pretty good year, and if anything, I mean, you could argue he's been better against the run than the pass.
Yeah.
That may be true, but what I like to see is our core guys stay together. Mostly, I think we should stay in the 3-4 defense. Personally, I would like to see Ron Brace and Albert Hainsworth and Vince Wilfork right there, those three right there together, and put Dane Fletcher and Jermaine Cunningham on the outside. See what those guys can do. Lead those two in the middle of Gerard Mayo and Brandon Spikes and see what they can do. Because I think Brandon Spikes more of a run stop than a pass than play the pass.
Certain.
I think teams that saw that and they picked that apart last week. I think he had a couple of plays on blown coverage. So, I think we'll make the play. I think we can go to the Super Bowl with this team if we can get some things together. I wasn't always a fan of that man stuff with them because I don't. I'm just not feeling the secondary right now. I think we just need to get better at that. I don't think it's going to be this year. I think in the draft we just got some players. I think he put too much. I think we as a team people put too much into Rouse Dowling. I think that was the biggest thing right there.
Well, I think Bill put the most into him by driving through a tunnel. I think Bill, I'm going to let you go, Kevin, because you are indeed driving through a tunnel or something very loud. But thank you for the phone call. You didn't disappoint. You think they can still go to the Super Bowl, so you're staying positive. But Rouse Dowling, Bill put something in him by drafting him with the first pick overall the second round, then by getting out there as soon as he was healthy, putting him right in the mix, starting games for him,
right,
and saying this guy is part of the top rotation at cornerback.
And he was competitive, I thought, in what little we saw of him. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to stay on the field. But what do you think of the whole thing that he brought up, excuse me, about sticking with the 3-4? Not necessarily with Dane Fletcher on the outside, but
that's a big front you'd be putting together. I don't know how good it would be with Haynesworth, Will Fork, and Brace.
Haynesworth barely plays.
Isn't that what he said?
Oh, I thought he just said go to the 3-4.
No, he gave you the front.
Oh, I didn't hear the front. I only heard the linebackers.
Oh, you just don't listen. You don't even listen to callers.
No, I don't. Well, I'm gonna save it for off the air. I'll tell you.
Wow. So I don't know that
Do
the
I
personnel
have to
spell
it out for you? I didn't really understand a lot of the stuff that he was saying.
Oh, I thought he was very clear.
I thought his phone line was awful.
Kevin, I thought you were fine. Don't let Paul get you down. I'm positive Andy here
once
today.
Again, much like when you said that I think the Tom Brady can't play, I couldn't really understand.
That hasn't appeared on TV yet.
Yesterday.
No, it hasn't appeared on TV yet.
No, you said it right here on PFW in Progress.
Oh.
But
so I'll say it again on TV tomorrow
night. It was
the
phone that I wasn't really feeling.
Well, he did. He suggested Haynesworth, Will Fork, and Brace. He wanted to see up front with Fletcher.
Yeah, Haynesworth
and Cunningham
doesn't play,
on the outside.
So he's a non-factor.
Maybe he would be in the 3-4. You know,
yeah,
he'd want to play in Washington.
That would be the solution. Put him in a defense that he doesn't want to play.
I still think it gets down to talent. You know, I don't think Rob Ninkovich is great as an outside linebacker in either defense.
No.
I think Andre Carter's been fine. I don't think he's been great. He certainly hasn't lived up to my expectations and hopes when I was saying that he would split votes with Gerard Mayo for Defensive Player of the Year after the Tampa game, which they owned the Bucs front. And I think it's much the way I feel about the back end. It's about talent. I don't know that they have impact playmakers, guys that are capable. And some of the impact playmakers aren't necessarily making impact plays. You know, Will Fork, we talked a little bit about it. He's in a four-man front. I think he's expected to do a little bit more now other than just pick passes off. He's not in that, you know, drudgery of a 3-4 nose tackle necessarily. Got a little more opportunity, maybe be a little more aggressive.
Sure.
You know, Gerard Mayo coming back from the injury last week, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but I still, in general, just want to see more plays from him, especially in the position he's playing now in the 4-3. And Devin McCourty, you know, I get back to the same three, the captains, the centerpieces of the defense. They need to make plays, you know, earn your paychecks. They're not doing that right now. I certainly don't feel great about Phillip Adams and Antoine Molden and guys like that being on the field, but I find it hard to blame them. They are who they are.
Right. And you're right about the guys. And Fred has been banging this drum all season long. If you
go
got,
Pats.
If
go
you got
Pats.
What you expected out of McCourty, I think the complexion would look a lot different. And I think that you know, some of the guys that you expected to be constants haven't really been constants. They've been okay at times, and other times they've been a lot worse than okay in McCourty's case.
Okay, we just opened up some phone lines if you want to jump in. And again, at what has been the busiest PFW Progress in history, in terms of phone calls, if you want to jump on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Show me I know what I'm talking about. Make it ring right now. And if you want to get on the email box, it's webradio@patriots.com.
Is that because Fred's not here?
Apparently. I'm saying it's the host. The host, you know, is the one who facilitates the calls, who drums up the calls. And we've had record calls today. So jump aboard on webradio@patriots.com or 508-298-0398. That voice you heard wearing the amazing
American
barber
flag.
Pole. Well, I went with a barber pole, but red, white, and blue team colors being
screw you, bitch.
Strong New Englander today.
Yep.
Shirt, which is interesting. I don't think it would work on TV. I think it would hurt the eyes on television.
Probably not.
So luckily,
you get one of those, what do they call it?
Oh, yeah. There was a phrase for it.
The effect that it looks like your shirt is like vibrating.
Yeah. But let's be honest. The shirt wouldn't work on TV worse than the face wouldn't work or the nose or anything of that.
Was it Manta? Something like that?
I don't know, Paul. We don't really know TV. We just pretended on Thursday nights at 7:30. Comcast.
Very good point by you.
But we have fresh off the practice field, Eric Scalavino is going to give us the practice update. Mm-hmm. And in this day of positives, good news, turning the page towards the Giants, let's hope Eric can continue the trend.
Yeah, I'd like to, but I have a little bit of bad news to report on the injury front. Wes Welker. Oh. Not at practice.
Uh-oh. Was it due to the PFW cover in which Troy Polamalu tried to rip his head off?
Was trying to take his head off and he looked like a Pez dispenser? No, I don't know.
Pez, that's not what jumped into my mind at all. But I like where you're going there. I like the imagery.
You know?
Unnecessary roughness. I'm going to stay with what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Not a face mask.
No
not,
specific
not
penalty,
illegal.
Other than you didn't have to and I didn't like
but
it.
But I think you could call the flag by just saying, I know but unnecessary roughness
that.
When I say
they don't allow that. If there's not an exact phrase that it has to fit into. They don't call the penalty. Eric!
Larger than usual media presence at practice.
Was the loudmouth TV news reporter out there? Does he get to go?
I think he was out there.
Was he yelling across, hey, Bill, I'm here again!
He was yelling after Edelman, because Edelman was in uniform practicing.
Oh, hair today.
Yes. Yeah, hair today. Hair. Right, yeah, I do. Yeah, don't really like it, but I saw it. So everybody was out there trying to get video of him, and in a very rare in-season practice appearance, we had the owner of the team glad handing with the offensive players as they went through.
So maybe TV guy was saying, hey, Mr. Kraft,
faith in democracy.
You're right. The only spokesman I haven't yelled at today.
Right. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a circus atmosphere than usual at practice. There's usually not a circus. It's usually just a handful of us,
a usually
couple of cameras.
Quite boring. It's a bunch of dorks with rosters going, did you see 42, 43, 43 out there, 44?
A little surprisingly that...
Did I see Sterling Moore?
Knowing that that was probably going to be the case, I was figuring it was going to be a stretching only, guys get the hell out, but we actually stayed for almost a good 15 minutes out there. So
see how little they expect now. Almost a good 15 minutes we got today.
Yeah, well, which is a rarity. It really is.
So obviously no black jerseys this week.
No black jerseys.
The black cloud from the loss is what's
hanging over
the field.
Only after victories do they get those.
Matthew Slater didn't get a jersey for portraying Mike Wallace.
No, nor Rob, what's his name, Ventrone for
Ross Ventrone.
Being Troy Polamalu.
No.
Any other status updates? Dane Fletcher?
Nope. Not a sign of him.
Wow. He used five words to say no.
So what do you got? Who was missing? Welker and Fletcher.
Yep.
That's
And I tried to get a you often try to go to a guy's locker to see if there's any activity, looking like there's anybody there. We did that with Edelman when we first got in, and you know all of his stuff was there. It looked like it was the normal.
Lee Bodden had his personal shoes, it looked like, last week after he'd been cut. I was wondering if they were going to ship them to him.
Maybe, but yeah, because that locker is completely empty
now. Oh, yeah, now it is. He's gone.
So I went over to Fletcher's locker just to see if there was any sort of activity there, and at first I was a little hesitant because he had the shoulder pads, and he had the generic, you know, T-shirt, sweatpants.
Team-issued gear.
Team-issued stuff, which filled up only a really small portion of the locker. And he had like maybe a set of flip-flops and a hat. But then I did see hanging on the hook there, it looked like he had like a black sweatsuit kind of thing.
Personal attire that he could have worn into.
Could have worn into, but with one shoe. Not one pair, but one shoe in front of the locker. So
he's just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Apparently. Apparently. So it's hard to tell whether or not he was around today. It kind of looked like he might have been, but not good news, though, that he's been out this long with presumably just the thumb injury.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to the phone lines because ask and ye shall receive. Asked for them to light it up. We got two more phone calls coming in. The first one we're going to go to is Sean in the Salt Lake, where apparently he's going for a new land speed record because that's what they do out there. Sean, are you actually in the middle of the Great Salt Lake?
No, I'm in Salt Lake City.
They left City off my monitor.
Bonneville Salt Flats?
Okay, you're a fun-loving guy. What do you got today on the Patriots there, Sean?
Been out drinking? No, of course not.
No, not at work. I think our issues with the secondary is not our corners. I mean, I know they've played bad, but I actually think it's our safeties and our linebackers.
Well, Bill Belichick certainly led us in that direction today in his morning press conference, and certainly coming off the loss to the Steelers, where a lot of those completions early on, it was Heath Miller in the middle of the field. But then at other times, it was, you know, those third and longs, it was Mike Wallace and Brown on in cuts between the hashes. So he certainly laid some of the blame for this week on the between the hashes defense, the linebackers, the safeties. And we know safety is an issue right now. They've had a rotating door there between Josh Barrett early in the year. Then they tried to go Sergio Brown. Then James Ahedebo was getting some credit for maybe solidifying it. Now he gets a little bit taken out of the lineup. Brown comes back last week. We'll see if Barrett can get back out there. But I certainly think they deserve a big share of the blame as that safety position.
Well, and also just the lack of depth and talent at cornerback.
Yes.
I mean, you have your default starters, McCourty and Arrington, and then after that, Molden and Adams, like we talked about before, we hardly know these guys. What they
I don't know
to
them
the
at
table.
All. Well, I confuse them with Moore and the other guy.
Victorian?
Well, I think
Victorian.
Part of our issue at safety is, well, you have Chung, who I think's one hell of a player.
He's
solid. But coverage.
Yeah, he certainly is a Polamalu-like. You want him moving forward, line of scrimmage, yep, in the box, banging heads, making plays up there. The deeper he gets in the field, I think the less his skills translate.
Yep, agreed.
And, I mean, I don't know who's out there that we could even get, but
nobody.
We need
nobody.
Somebody.
Nobody.
There's nobody.
Right now.
You know, not only have they decided not to go the name everybody wants to throw out is Sharper. He's clearly not healthy. No one signed him. He's old. And there's not a lot else out there. We've talked to people in the organization who've said, you know, you look and there's just not a lot out there
now. And please, folks, don't stop filling our inbox with Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy. That's not happening. Please stop with those emails.
Wow. Angry.
Two other things. I'm just dumbfounded by we lose one game, and there's some idiots out there saying, well, we need a new coach.
That idiot's name is Anthony.
Naples? Is that what he's, is he calling and say that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and now, on that subject, I mean, I don't think we should have a different GM, but I think maybe somebody to help Bill out a little bit.
Well, I've heard that a lot. He has people that help him out. The names are Nick Caserio and Floyd Reese. And then all the scouts below them are trickling down, you know, in their roles. He has those people. Now, if you think those people aren't good or don't have enough confidence to go after Bill and challenge him, that may be an issue, but I'm not sure who does. You had a special situation with Scott Pioli. They were very close. They were friends off the field. They'd worked together for a long time, and they built this from the ground up in New England. Scott was comfortable challenging Bill. I don't know how you can recreate that. The closest thing might be Nick Caserio. You hope he develops into that. He's been here a long time. Bill respects him on and off the field. He's had a lot of roles. And you hope maybe Nick grows into the role where he says, Bill, we can't do that. Bill, that's dumb. Bill, that's not good value.
Definitely think there needs to be more pushback.
Yes, but I don't think you can bring a guy in off the street and there's going to be that immediate pushback.
No,
the guy would be out of his mind.
Well, and also,
now,
it probably wouldn't work. Bill probably wouldn't take him seriously because he doesn't know.
Which has been driving me nuts.
Okay, go.
Value.
Yeah.
Yeah, as our friend Dan said earlier, it's a negative.
In hindsight, if you look at what we've drafted for our secondary, we could have like three or four top five picks.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I said it yesterday. Bill buys a bunch of Vizios and refuses to buy the Sony. That's $500 more.
Yeah.
But in buying the three Vizios, he spends twice as much than he would have on the Sony if he bought it once.
Well, and there's another way you can look at it. You can go buy you a Porsche. Or you can have a backyard full of cars that don't run.
That's right.
Unfortunately, we have the backyard of cars that don't run.
Well, that's unfortunate because if we were in Salt Lake, we could take the Porsche out on the Salt Lake and go for the land speed record.
That's right.
Thank you, Sean. Another good call. We appreciate it. We're going to stick with the phone lines because they continue to pile up. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Next, we go out to San Diego, where I'm really, really, really hoping this is the good Bill and not the jerk who likes to bombard us on the Patriots pregame social presented by JetBlue. Bill, are you nice?
Oh. Definitely. I don't do the pre-Patriots because I don't have the luxury of doing that show on Sundays. But
why not?
A couple things I want to go
whoa,
over.
Whoa. Reel
let's,
this in.
Let's back it up a
why
second.
Why can't you listen to the JetBlue Patriots pregame social?
Because I'm usually doing stuff with a wife. Sundays, other than a Patriots game, it's my wife and I Sundays.
Okay, well, okay. Let me tell you then. Right. You get an iPhone, and you listen to it on the iPhone, and you tune her out.
But download the podcast anyway.
I'm on Android, okay. But I'm looking at the iPhone.
Works well on Android.
I think it works on Android.
The Droid works.
Okay, back to the Patriots. Screw the pregame social.
Ask this guy. I got no stones.
Check this out. And I love the show. I want to chime that in before I stop.
Thank you, Bill.
There's a butt coming.
You can get to the butt now.
You're like Eric.
Defensive secondary, horrible. I mean, the trades that Bill Belichick's made, horrible. I honestly believe that we need to get Taylor Price. I'm down on Ocho Cinco. Everybody's kind of beat that up.
question for you guys. Has anybody seen or heard anything from Ridley after the Oakland Raider win? We haven't seen anything from Ridley but a couple of touches. Is he hurt? Is he out? What's his story?
I don't believe he's hurt. He struggled that next week. You know, we talked about maybe he got a little too high on himself, feeling himself. He was in the locker room today. I saw him. I didn't speak with him, but he was in there today. So, you know, that was a good game. But since then, you know, he's a rookie. I don't think you can necessarily expect a rookie third-round pick to carry a ground game. He hasn't had a ton of opportunities, so let's not pretend that he has. You know, the ground game last week didn't get a ton in general. I didn't think they went to it enough. I thought Benny could have had a day against a sub-package Steelers front. But I think in terms of your problems, Stephen Ridley's kind of a little bit lower down on the list of issues.
Well, I know that, but that was one of the big questions, because everybody else has killed the, you know, the points that I wanted to make with you guys. In other words, I've been listening to the show for the last 2.5 hours.
Excellent. And wow, I'm glad.
And you know, and I love the show. I listen to it regularly, except on Sunday when my wife's here. But long story short, I want to know, did you guys think we saw too much of Kevin Falk? We didn't see anything on Danny Woodhead. We didn't see, you know, Tom, you know, giving us this vanilla, and I'm a Brady fan, huge Brady fan, but he's given us this easy-to-defend, drop-back vanilla offense, and Pittsburgh basically, you know, took it to it. I mean, you got to give it to him for that.
Yes, I think you have
We didn't switch it up on these guys.
We did not. I think you give them credit. They went to the man coverage. I thought it was a good game plan that I didn't think they could enact. They enacted it. The Woodhead thing, I don't think we've seen much from Woodhead all year. I know he's been a little banged up. I think he's come back to reality. He has not looked anywhere near as electric as I thought he looked.
And I thought pretty much regularity last year.
Yeah, I don't get it started during the game. There were tweets ripping Kevin Falk. I saw him take what was there. I saw him be productive. I saw him pick up some pass rush. I saw him catch the ball. Was it great? Was he enough to win by himself? No, and he never was. That's not the kind of player he ever was.
No, but I do think that you're right about, I don't think they were quick to make many adjustments. I don't think that, you know, maybe the screen game might have been implemented. Maybe get Gronk deep down the seam a little bit. I don't think they really tried any of that. So I do agree with you, Bill, in that regard. I thought they were a little bit vanilla, but in terms of personnel usage, I think they were fine. I think Falk had a better game than anything really Woodhead's had this year, maybe with the exception of the opener against Miami.
Bill, thanks for the call. I hate to cut you short there, but we are coming to the end of the show here, and I got a few more phone calls I need to get to. The Ace Ticket Hotline just burning up today, and we're going to go to one of our friends that calls almost every day. Olivier in Virginia wants to speak a little French with Eric.
Hey, Eric, bonjour.
Bonjour, mon ami. Comment ça va?
Ah, mais ça va très bien.
All right, let's get it to English. We only got a couple minutes here.
All right, guys. So I thought long and hard about this yesterday, and I'm ready to take over Bill Belichick's coaching job. And I'm taking Anthony with me for offensive coordinator. I think we're ready.
He is offensive.
Can I be the GM?
Yes, absolutely, of course.
Yeah, Robert Quinn.
I have no responsibilities here whatsoever.
And I think
Paul's our PR guy, right? Paul can be our PR guy.
Let's go.
He'll put all the fires out, so to speak.
That's exactly what you're looking for.
Andy, as long as Paul doesn't have to work weekends and game days,
well,
he'll be fine with
that.
He can, yeah, do what he wants to do.
Am I right?
Absolutely. What are you guys, what have you seen today in the locker room? What's the mood? What is the,
lot of media.
The introspection?
A lot of media, not a lot
not
of players.
Not a lot of players.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Deion Branch was upbeat when I spoke with him one-on-one for the Patriots Football Weekly TV show.
But he refused to go in the locker room.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it in the locker room. I had to meet him in the hallway.
I'll tell you what, though. The practice had a very upbeat feel to it. A lot of guys getting, not rowdy, but very...
Here's my guess.
Just very upbeat. There were a lot of cameras there. They knew what was going on. And
my guess is obviously they don't like the fact that they lost last week, but they like the situation when there's some doubt that creeps in.
Mm.
I think they feed off of this nonsense. Like now they're gonna. I'll tell you right
us
now.
Against the world.
At 7:30,
maybe Bill can post my power ranking. See, they knocked you down three slots in the power ranking.
at your own website.
At 7:30 Sunday night, I'll guarantee we hear at least five different players say, "You guys all wrote us off."
Yeah.
Or something like that, which is utter foolishness.
You know, we've spent most of the week saying
there's no way the Giants, can win.
No
one thinks the Giants have a shot at winning this game, but I'll guarantee you 7:30, 7:45 on Sunday night after the Patriots win, a lot of those guys are going to tell us that we picked the Giants and that we didn't give them a chance.
Hey, by the way, Andy, before I go, I'm not French. I speak French, but I'm not French.
Where are you from?
I was born in Belgium, but my family is Italian.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I speak all those languages.
So you have some good food. Belgian chocolate, yeah. Italian food.
Belgian waffles.
Belgian waffles. Yeah. Oh, I love a good Belgian waffle. That sounds really
good. And I
gay.
Actually have lost weight.
You've lost weight?
I can't
weight?
Believe you let that go by.
Because you've been watching the Patriots this year? You getting nervous?
I'm always nervous. I don't trust these guys. They broke my heart too many times. So
I
believe that in order for me to trust them, they got to produce and they got to think things through. And I don't you know, give a blank check to Mr. Belichick to think that, you know, he's going to come up with a miracle sauce every week or the player. So to me, you know, I'm happy when they win, and I'm always disappointed when they lose. But, you know, that's life.
When did you start following the Patriots?
Olivier's gone, so don't ask him any more questions. Okay. Thanks for the call, Olivier. We're coming to the end of the show. That was our favorite Belgian, Italian,
French-speaking person.
Listener.
Patriots fan.
I gotta think he's a one of a kind in the world. Listens to this show, speaks French and is Belgian and Italian. We got one more call to get to. Jerry, don't worry, I didn't forget about you. You're in California, but you're not that far away because you're on the phone line right now here.
Ace Ticket Hotline.
PFW in progress. What do you got, Jerry?
Good morning. Trying to be positive here. As for our defense, I would think it will be very hard for them to be any worse than they are, so that's positive enough.
Statistically, they can't.
But my only comment was, obviously, Chad Okwuasinko hasn't made it. Everybody wanted him to be good. He's not, so he's got to be, you know, he needs to be out the door. But before he goes out the door, why don't we do a Troy Brown and ask him to try to be a defensive back? He couldn't be much worse than the ones we got, and he seems to be pretty good at dropping balls and knocking them on the ground, so maybe he would work.
Yeah, he is a great athlete, and you're right. The road at receiver is about coming to an end, so make him earn his $6 million, make him play defense. Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, probably not going to happen.
You don't even
want to have him be inactive. No,
I'm not having him inactive. If he's going to be a day of game inactive, he's going to be inactive for the rest of the year. I'm going to cut him.
Yeah, man, and now you want to make him a defensive back.
Troy Brown could be a defensive back until they tried him.
Bill Belichick.
Okay, you got me there.
And I also didn't say that he couldn't do it. I would bet that he could. Long-term
Patriot fan. My hero was Steve Grogan, although I will admit that Brady guy, he's pretty good. I actually have a soft spot in my heart for Drew Bledsoe also, so I guess you could say I'm a long-term Patriot fan.
Well, thank you, Jerry. We all love Drew. Paul's got a soft spot in his belly for Drew Bledsoe, but, you know, he's got that soft spot for most people. Joining us now in studio.
It's been one of those days.
The famous
running stream of
John Rook. John, the fans are all riled up.
You think?
I can't hear you. Can I hear him?
Pot his mic up.
He's on.
There
I'm
we
on
go.
Now.
There you go.
That's why I call him Dumas.
No, that's dumbass.
Oh, you're right. It is actually dumbass, but we clean it up for the show.
You're doing such a fine job hosting today.
Why, thank you. I'm having fun.
He was
with
outstanding.
I had a lot of energy.
Where's Grandpa?
Grandpa is glad handing
meetings.
Some bidwigs.
Meetings.
Wow. Not the medical thing?
Huh? No? What does Grandpa have wrong with him?
He had a meeting.
Yeah, he had a meeting with some important.
Remember, he was talking about he had the hernia that needed.
Oh,
the,
yeah. I think he's put that off.
Oh, he did?
The fiberglassing of the hernia. I think he's waiting on that.
Okay.
But, John, what do you got on the show today? You're going to, we've tried to turn the page a little bit here, look forward to the Giants, maybe lift some spirits a little bit.
Trying to
so
do that, yes.
Put
it didn't really
Tuesday
work for about
past.
An hour and 20 minutes. We took it home the
yeah,
last 40.
We came on strong
nitpick
late.
Tuesday was get hammered Tuesday.
Yeah, oh, my so goodness.
You were drinking on the show?
Well, I wish we could have.
You
should have
drank that hot sauce that's still in there. There's plenty more, you know.
No, that's
going to last
that's
a couple
take
of hundred
the skin
years.
Off of my tongue.
What do you got for guests today? We got
Bob Papa, who's the voice of the Giants.
I love it when you call him Bob Papa.
And then we will also have Chris Price from EEI.com.
Oh, nice. We'll see if he can get to the bottom of this defense.
That's what we're going to talk about.
Because the defense is indeed
bottom.
Hey, if you want a more positive
like
outlook
yes.
about this team, then just get the local media in. You'll be all set.
That's true, except for the
we got it all figured out.
Cranky news reporters who attack Bill Belichick in press conferences.
I enjoyed that, actually.
I did, too. And I urge people to, if you haven't seen
it
yet, turn on Channel 7. Well, I'm going to plug the Channel 7 news tonight. The reporter was mic'd up, so the whole interaction between Bill and the reporter should be caught on tape, and you will be entertained as Bill has his way with a news reporter like he normally does with Eric. That's kind of how he treats Eric sometimes, and Eric felt good that it was somebody else today.
I'm leaving now. Good
but I'm leaving now as well. Eric Scalavino will stay here for a little while with John Rook. Patriots Playbook is up next, and I just want to thank all the listeners today for the interaction. Tons of emails left. John will get to
those.
People
ripping your power ranking?
Yes, they were ripping my power ranks, but I'm okay with that. I rip people. I expect to be ripped. I'm fine with it. I went outside the box, came up with something new. We'll see how it plays up the rest of the year. Thank you for all the phone calls. Record-setting day on the phone. And tune in tomorrow for a big Thursday edition of PFW in Progress.
How long are we going here?
We'll make the picks yet again using the Wilson Hart Power Index. Peace out.